Shabbos, a big day Yom Tov on Purim. Not supposed to wear big day hope. Because of the Simcha, the Zechi of Simcha, because of the Zechi of Simcha, there's an Issa Heskib Betainis. Our minig is that we don't recite Tachnun, even though the Torah quotes the minig by the Gaonim was that they did say Tachnun. But our minig is that we treat it like a yonta from what does not say Tachnun. The Bitzel Panavizha has a chiddush in his Sefer Zecha Yitzchok. He says that every day there's a funeral, but people dying every day. So if you have a funeral on Purim, the Isser Hesped only applies to the strangers. But those who are the Oinanim, the relatives of the one who died, who are in the state of Anina, an Oinan is not permitted to fulfill any mitzvahs, including the mitzvah of Simchas Purim. So he writes a chiddush that the Oinanim are permitted to deliver a Hesped on Purim or on Chanukah, because just like they're not allowed to do other mitzvahs, they're forbidden to do other mitzvahs, so they're forbidden to fulfill this mitzvah of Simchas Purim as well. This opinion has not been accepted because we assume that because of the mitzvah of Simcha, not only is one forbidden to deliver a hesped, one is not permitted to listen to a hesped. So it doesn't help the fact that the Yonanim are not permitted to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha. Fine, they're allowed to deliver a hesped, but no one's allowed to listen. So what are you going to do? You're going to pull a plunk. Don't be delivering hesped. No one's going to listen to the text. No one's going to be listening to the hesped. So that's what's usually assumed, that on Chanukah and Purim, when it says the lola mispedahon, doesn't only mean that the strangers don't deliver a hesped, it means that even the Onanim also don't deliver a hesped, because no one is permitted to listen to the hesped. By us, the most significant part of the observance of Purim is really the Mikra Megillah. Even though in this Tanakh it doesn't really say explicitly that you have to read the Megillah, it says Hayamim Ho'ele Nizkarim Benasim, and the Gemara understands Nizkarim Miloshen Lahazakir, spoken of. So the Mikra Megillah is what's alluded to, Hayamim Ho'ele Nizkarim. The Iker Mitzvah that's described in the Megillah Esther is Lasan Sosim Mei Mishta B'Simcha, to observe Purim as a Yontif, to wear Big Day Yontif, not to have Hesped V'Tainis, to have Shalach Monas, to have Matanis Lav Yoinim in connection with the Suda. The Mikra Megillah doesn't really say Mefurish. It's alluded to. It says, Ayamim Ha'elim is Karim and Asim, is spoken of. Spoken of is a reference to the Mikra Megillah. So that's why there is a Diyun in Achreinim where the Mikra Megillah has the status of Dibri Kabbalah. The Rabbi Natam came up with a Chiddush that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz quotes it in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. The original Rabbi Natam is quoted by the Haggadah Maimoni that Bizman Hazeh, he talks about fasting on some Gedaliah. So Bizman Hazeh, some Gedaliah is really Rata Misanim, Rata Ein Misanim. So it's only Kvash Avyu Alayu Chayvo. The meaning is that we have chosen to fast on some Gedaliah. But if we would live in a country where there would be open persecution against the Jews, then Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, and there's open persecution, then if you have to fast and some Gedaliah is Medivri Kabbalah. And it says in the Novi, the Yester Shailov Zechariah HaNovi, so he speaks about some Arvi B'Tzamach HaMishnah, that Yimachuyev to fast on these. So when a Tainus is Medivri Kabbalah, so then the Rabbi Natam in the Tshuva, quoted by the Gois Maimon, he says, Medivri Kabbalah Kedivri Torah Damyan, and the only one who would be permitted to eat on some Gedaliah would be Safik, Chelo She'esh B'Safik Sakana, same as Yom Kippur. We only permit people to eat if there's a suffix sakana. So the same would be true on the Tanesim if they would have been Medivri Kabbalah. Bizman Hazeh, it's not Medivri Kabbalah. Bizman Hazeh, it's only Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. So that's why we are Mekel and we allow a Chodesh Emi Sakana to eat on the tiniest Dirabbanah. So that's the Rabbi Natam has this Lashon. Medivri Kabbalah, Kedivri Torah Damer. So it's not a Gemara. Gemara in Tainis has like that. But the Rabbi Natam says it v'negir t'dinim, that we say who's allowed to eat, we only dibre kabbalah to dibre ter damya, that we're machmar and the dibre kabbalah to the same extent that we would be machmar and the dibre ter. So the Rabbi Kivega and the Chidushim on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Turi Evan in the Shagas Hariyah Megillah, that Shagas Hariyah thinks that Mikra Megillah is also dibre kabbalah. that since Divrei Kabbalah and Divrei Torah Damyan, so we have a rule that Safik Deraisa Lechumra and Safik Derabanan Lekula, so Safik Divrei Kabbalah would also be Lechumra. So he says if a person is Mesupik, if he was Yotze Mikra Megillah, so he writes that you have to go Lechumra. So this is really a question, is that really the case that Mikra Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah? Rashi writes in the Pirush Rashi on Masechus Tainus, we're not sure who wrote the Pirush Rashi on Tainus, but whoever wrote it, it says there in Rashi, towards the end of Masechus Tainus, that a din that appears in Nevi'im Uksuvim is only considered Divrei Kabbalah if it's written Baloshin Tzibur, that you have to do this and you have to do that. So it says that with respect to Lasa Sosim Imei Mishta B'Simcha, to observe Purim as a Yontif, Isa Hesper the Tainus. That's described, that says Beloshan Tzivoi, to have Sudas Purim, Shalach Manas, Matanas Lavyan, but Mikra Megillah is just mentioned. It's alluded to. Ayam HaMa'elim, this Karim and Asim, that everybody talks about the story of Purim by reading the Megillah. So that's why there are those who tiny that Shabina Rav has in his Chubas this argument, based on this Rashi, at the end of Tainus. He says he doesn't see that Mikra Megillah should be considered Divrei Kabbalah. He doesn't want to say he's disagreeing with the Shagas Aryeh. So he doesn't quote the Rabbi Kiveges. He doesn't quote the Shagas Aryeh. So he quotes the Minchas Aloza. The Munkacher says like that. Okay, so the Munkacher, you have a right to disagree. So he says Minchas Aloza writes in his Tshuva that Mikra Megillah has the status of Divrei Kabbalah. So he begs to differ. He disagrees with the Minchas Aloza. But Lamais is disagreeing with Rabbi Kiveges, who quoted this from the Shagas Aryeh. This is a big issue, whether Mikra Megillah has the status of Divrei Kabbalah. It only has the plain old status as a din derabbanan, not elevated to the level of Divrei Kabbalah. The Gemara has on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Yeah.
If we're going to make the Divrei Kabbalah exactly to the Torah, is that also going to be according to those opinions that say that you can't be your saying with a woman reading since it would then become a mitzvah shizman drama, like any other mitzvah shizman drama. That if you're
going to hold
it, it's
different
to all, you're
going
to have to follow that all
the way,
or is it
going to
be too
independent
things? Being
a sort of
tie that you don't have to tie
that. The Gemara says women are mechuyev in mikra megillah. The pashtus in the Gemara says that women are just as obligated as men.
Right.
The pashtus is the women should be able to be moitzi the men. Taisus quotes from the Halachas Gedolos that he writes a chiddush that they cannot, that the women cannot be moitzi the men. So Taisus doesn't understand why, but they say we usually follow the Halachas Gedolos because kol dvar divrei kabbalah. We assume that he's recording traditions. The Halachas Gedolos lived in the days of the Gaonim, so we assume he's writing traditions from the Gaonim. So some explain that perhaps that's the difference, that men are mechuyev in mikra megillah midivrei kabbalah. The women are on the mechuyev in mikra megillah midirabbanan. This svara of afen haybi osanes, maybe that's only a svara to be mechayev on the level of the rabbanan, but not on the level of the divrei kabbalah. So since the men's chiyev is slightly higher than the women's chiyev, so maybe women vis-a-vis men are considered ani mechuyev bedavar, mishani mechuyev bedavar. And the moti aser rabim v'dechay vosim. That's one of the explanations that's given for the Bahag's opinion to explain why the women can't be, why the Bahag thinks that women cannot be moti men. That's a shaila. When the Gemara says that hezver afin harbi yosanes, does that mean that the mechuyev on the same level as the men? That's what Taisa says. Poshim shat, the women are mechuyev on the same level as the men, and the Bahag understands not so. He understands afin harbi yosanes means a slightly lower level chiyuv. There is a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch when you say that women are mechuyev afin habi osanes. What about avodim she'ena meshuchrarim? Avodim meshuchrarim have the status like a ger. So ger says in the Mikra Megillah, it says hayamim kima v'kiblu ha'ayhudim aleim alzaram alkol anivam aleihem liyososim imeyam purim ho'elus. It says alkol anivam aleihem. It says they accepted upon themselves that the gerim who asim with his gayer will also observe this mitzvah pur, even though they are not descended, the Gerim are not descended to the people who were involved in this this Harkona. So the Gerim really shouldn't have any shaykhas with celebrating Purim. So nonetheless, that's what it says in the Megillah, Ki ba'aleim al valzaram v'akol aniv ma'aleim. On the Gerim, the Avarim Shecharim, that says in the Megillah that they're mechuyev to observe Purim. The Shabbos, what about an Eved Shein and Meshuchra? An Eved usually has the same din as an Isha. Mitzvah says that she has my grandma, they're both Potter. See, the Gemara gives a special reason why the women are Mechuy Vachin Hagdias Hanes. Does that apply to the Avodim also? She didn't say no. Only applies to the Noshim and the Avodim Shein and Meshuchrarim Anach Mechuy. So that's a Machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Only Avodim Meshuchrarim Anach Mechuy. Rafil Avodim Shein and Meshuchrarim. So they quote in the name of Rav Elva the Soloveitchik in the Shurim in the beginning of Erechin. And the Gemara quotes this member of Rabbi Shua ben Levi in Erechin Dav Gimel. The women are Mechuy ben Mikra Megil Afin Havi Yosanez. So they quote that he suggested you can interpret this member in two ways. You can say that the Mikra Megillah, true, it's a mitzvah sasa shazman grama. You only read the Megillah on Leil Purim and on Yom HaPurim in the daytime. You don't read it all year long. So that's considered a mitzvah sasa shazman grama. But it could be that this is only a form of fulfilling a bigger mitzvah on the level of the right. And the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and Ekdash to Bissach and Israel. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim and Flores, and he gives a Yeshua for the Klal Israel. So we have to react and we have to respond and we have to say something about it. So it could well be that this form of fulfillment could be that that this particular chi of Mikra Megillah is only Midirabbanan, but it's a kiyum of a din deraisa. That din deraisa of Kiddush Hashem and Ikdash the Bissach Bnei Israel, that's a mitzvah saseh deraisa shalai az magrom. So it could be that that's what the Gemara meant to say. Afen hoi b'yosanes. Since this is part of this particular din derabbanan is part of a larger mitzvah deraisa, which is not man grama, so that's why women and avadim are all mechuyev. Everyone should be mechuyev in this. Or it could be the Gemara meant to say no. So a special svara lachayves hanoshim. Special svara lachayves hanoshim. Then there's room to argue and say that it doesn't apply to avadim shenim shechra. That's the machlokes harishon. Is it a special chiyuv or no? It's not a special chiyuv. It's a regular din. It's part of a larger mitzvah deraisa, which is not a zman grama. One nafkamina will be safek. Safek deraisa luchumer, and safek dibre kabbalah is also luchumer. That would be one nafkamina. What are the other nafkaminim? Some arguments say that this is exactly the machlekes of Yudah and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. Yudah says that a katan can lay mikra megillah b'motzi asarabim b'derchei vasam. So Tesis explains why, because the people after bar mitzvah are only mechuyev m'derabbanan. The kid before bar mitzvah, higil achinuch, is also mechuyev m'derabbanan and mikra megillah. So he's mechuyev on the same level that they're mechuyev. That's on Yutes on the base. Machlekes Abiyud and the Rabbanan in the Mishnah with the long Tesis. So Tesis has two pshatim. What kind of a cotton are you talking about? So the pshat that Tesis prefers is we're talking about a cotton shekvar higil achinuch. So with the Rabbanan, the cotton is mechuyev the Gavus. So Abiyud holds the cotton is mechuyev on the same level that the Gedolim are mechuyev. So he can be moti as a rabbi midechay vos. Rabbi Yudah says, I remember as a child, I was the Balkari in the shul where Rab Tarfon was the rabbi. And no one protested. It was with the approval of Rav Tarfon. So how can you argue with me? I remember Ma'aseh Shehoya. And the Chachamim disagree with him and they say, Ein Mevim Raim Min HaKotan. You're telling us now what happened when you were a Kotan. So many years ago, we don't believe you. Because the Mishnah says in the end of the second parak in Ksubis, is a Kotan Shehigdil, Neman to tell all the things that happened to Katnusoi. So the Mishnah says, Andinim the Rabbanon, he has them on us. And Andinim, let's say, Ankiyum Ashtar. He says, I recognize the handwriting from the time that I was in Cheder, and the Rebbe used to write on the blackboard, he always used to write with such a handwriting, with such a script. So I recognize that the Rebbe used to write on my test papers, he used to sign his name. So I recognize the Rebbe's signature, I recognize his personal signature from the time that I was a Kotel. Or he says, Bigadluso, he says, I remember as children we used to walk up until this point, and everybody said, "At kam tum Shabbos and mekam yelach." You're not allowed to walk. So he said, "The kotn higdil is nemet to say where the tum Shabbos is." So he's nemet to say, "Pliny is a koyin, and he's permitted to eat truma der rabbanim. Truma the zman is der rabbanim." So the Gemara says, "The kotn shehigdil is nemon on dinim der rabbanim, but he's not nemon on dinim der rice." So Rav Yudah says over here that mikra megillah is only der rabbanim. The Gedolim are mechuyev in the Rabbanan, the Kotnish Yigil, the Chinuch is mechuyev in the Rabbanan, everybody in the Rabbanan. And he holds Mikra Megillah as the Rabbanan. So therefore, I'm a Katan Shehigdil, and I'm meant to say that I laid the Megillah in front of Rav Tarfon, and he didn't disapprove. That's Rav Yudah holds that the Mikra Megillah is the Rabbanan. And the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yudah, apparently, and they think that that's how some suggest. And they hold the Mikra Megillah is Medirei Kabbalah. The Katan is only Mechiv and Chinuch Medirei Rabbanan. That's the Lolachiyah. And the Gdolim are Mechiv Medirei Kabbalah. So the Katan vis-a-vis the Gdol is considered Eina Mechiv B'dover. Is not Mechiv B'dover on the same level as the Gdolim. The Gdolim are more Mechiv. The Chiv is Medirei Kabbalah. And that's why the Rabbanan argue with Rav Yudah, and they say, Emivim Raimin HaKatan, because the Katan Shehigdil is not Neman with respect to Dirim Derais, and who are the Nami, he wouldn't be Neman with respect to Dibre Kabbalah. That's how some suggest it. That's exactly the Machlokes Rav Yudah. The Machlokes between the Shebina Rav and the Minchas Alazar is exactly the Machlokes Atanoim and the Mishnah and Daf Yutes and the base between Rav Yudah and Nachacham. Rav Yudah holds that Mikra Megillah is the Rabbanon, therefore Mevim Raim and Akotten, Kotten Shehigdil is Neman and Dinam the Rabbanon, and the Gdoyle Mamma the Rabbanon, and the Kotten Shehigdil Chinuch is Rabbanon. Everybody's on the same level of Chiyuv, and the Chachamim disagree, they hold not. That possibility, that's how some say.
Rabbi Tarfon is from Beit Shammai, right?
Yeah.
So do we usually follow the people in Beit Shammai if there's no machlokas between the Shoda Tamai
and then? Yeah. Rabbi Tarfon has a lot of things to say. When it's a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and the other Tanoim, so we assume that he's from the Beit Shammai, we can't follow him. But over here, we don't find anybody in that earlier generation disagreed with Rav Tarfon. So Rav Yudah says that this is a shita that was muskan. He claims that all the Tanaim would have agreed with Rav Tarfon. And the Tanaim say, we don't even trust you what you're telling us that Rav Tarfon said like that. We're not so convinced that you know what you're talking about. But the Shehigdil doesn't have nemanis on Dinam Derais. So they held that Huad Anami doesn't have nemanis on a din that's been Dinam Kabbalah. The Gemara on Zayin Amud Aleph quotes that Esther sent two requests to the Chachamim. She sent one request, Kivuni Lidoris, that they should establish Purim as a Yontif. And that was a whole machloikis, whether it's a violation of Baal Tosef, that's on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us 48 male Nevi'im and 7 women Nevi'os for so many generations, so many years, and they never changed any of the laws of the Torah, L'Pichsuklum, L'Hasiruklum, until it came Chutz Mimikra Megillah. That was the first time that they made a Takana the Rabban. There is the Rabban they made in earlier generations as well. We learned the Masechah Shabbos that when Dovid HaMelech died, on Shabbos, Shlomo HaMelech went to ask a Shaila Bat Muktzah, Tiltal Muktzah. And Shlomo HaMelech made a Takana of Erev Echatzeris and made a Takana of Netilus Yadayim. These are Gzeris. The Gzeris, the Rabban they had way before the days of Esther. But the Ramban explains in his commentary on Chumash, this was the first time they made a Takana with the Rabban. A mitzvah says to the Rabban. So that's why there's a whole machlokes, is it permissible or not? The Gemara says, yeah, kivuni l'doros, to establish a yontif, was permissible, that that's not a violation of Baal Tosef. For some reason or another, there's no violation of Baal Tosef. Then when it came to kisvuni l'doros, that the Megillah Sester should be incorporated into the Kisvei HaKodesh, that was a big ongoing debate, bizman ha-tanoim, bizman ha-amaroim. So Shmuel lived in the days of the Shmuel was the first generation of Amoraim. Shmuel was of the opinion that Megillah Esther is not part of the Tanakh. You have to lay the Megillah Esther, but it's not part of the Kisvei HaKodesh. It's not Metami Yisayadayim. Lamaskana, we passed on that it is part of the Tanakh. That there are 24 Sifri HaTanakh. According to Shmuel, there are only 23 Sifri HaTanakh. He used to say years ago, a joke, when Rabbi Gorin wrote his tshuva about the Mamzerim. He said in the yeshivas that he said that his tshuva was such a knockout tshuva, so Givaldek, he insisted that it should be included into the Kisvei HaKodesh. So the other chief rabbi at that time was Rabbi Avadya Yosef. So they say in the yeshivas jokingly that he said, but we have a tradition, there are only 24 Kisvei HaKodesh. How can you add 25? There have to be dafka 24. So Rabbi Gurin said, well, my tshuva is so good, we'll throw out one of the Kisvei HaKodesh and we'll replace it with this one. So he said, which one are you going to throw out? So they said, we'll throw it over here. That joke is inaccurate because Avadya is not a safer Bifnei Atzmo unless he's prepared to throw out the whole Treyasa. Avadya is one of the Treyasas. It's not a safer Bifnei Atzmo. There is no such tradition. There's no tradition. It has to be 24. You can have 25. You can have 23. Shmuel holds that they're 23. Others hold that Kohelis is not Metame Yisayadai. Different opinions in the Tanoim. How many Svarim are there in Kisvei HaKodesh? There was a Shaila about Shir HaShirim. Hashayim about Yecheskel, which Svarim should be included. So we assume Lalacha, they wrote Eschim V'yar B'kisra Kodesh, that Megillas Esther is one of the 24, and that therefore it's Metames Hayadayim. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah that if you have a Kasha Megillah, if you're holding a Chumash, you can hold it with your bare hands. If you're holding a Kasha Megillah, so there is an issue. The Gemara says on the last daf in Megillah that it's Asa Lecha Sefer Torah Orum. You're not allowed to hold on to a Sefer Torah with your bare hands. You have to have a Hefzik of a Mitpachas. Rashi writes on Lamed Beis Amid Aleph. That's on the last daf in Megillah. So some Achrayim hold that Beis Yosef called some Achrayim hold that this then only applies to Sefer Torah, doesn't apply to Nevi'im Mitzuvim. So that's the Lashon of Rabbi Yochanan. Oiches Sefer Torah Orum Nikbar Orum. Only on a Sefer Torah. We are machme not so. We are machme that it includes Nevi'im Mitzuvim as well. So the Markai has a kula that we only apply to Nevi'im Mitzuvim. That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch. That if a person washed until it's a dime with a cup in advance, then we permit him to hold on to the Nevi'im Mitzuvim with his bare hand. To hold on to the Sefer Torah when machme not to follow the Markai. So Tesis doesn't agree with the Markai. The Masechah Shabbos on Daf Yudalid on the top of Amud Beis, that's where the Machlekes Tesis and the Markai is. With respect to Nevi'im Mitzuvim, the Shulchan Aruch passes sort of based on a sex fake. Maybe the whole prohibition against Eichet Sefer Torah Orm only applies to Sefer Torah, doesn't apply to Klal to Nevi'im Mitzuvim. And even if you're machmer like most of the Poskim, that it does apply to Nevi'im Mitzuvim, but you can rely perhaps on the Mordechai that if you wash until it's a diamond advance, you're allowed to hold it with your bare hands. But a person has to keep that in mind. Has to know to wash until it's a diamond. If he's going to be holding on to a Kosher Megillah, he's supposed to wash until it's a diamond advance. Otherwise, taka, we're machmer that it's an Issa. The Mishnah only has mention of Mikra Megillah by Yom. It never mentions Mikra Megillah by Laila. The Mishnah lists off on Chof on the days. Kol Dovish and Mitzvasa by Yom Kosher Kol Ayam, and Dovish and Mitzvasa by Laila Kosher Kol Alayla. So it says, Kol Ayam Kosher Lekriyas HaMegillah, Lekriyas HaHala, Lekriyas Shoifan, Lekriyas Lulav, Lekriyas HaMusafim, Lekriyas HaMusafim, a couple of other mitzvahs also. And then it says, Kol HaLayla Kosher, Lekriyas HaMegillah, HaKosh, Emurim, Zehaklal, Davish Mitzvahs HaBayam, Kosher Kol Ayam. What is the Mishnah only talk about Mikra Megillah Bayam? What happens to the Mikra Megillah Balayla? So the Rishayim are bothered with that. They say that the Mikra Megillah Bayom is Iker. Mikra Megillah Baylaila is not as important as Mikra Megillah Bayom. What do you mean it's not as important? So Rav Shlomo LaVilna has a chiddush in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, Chelek Arachayim. He thinks to say that perhaps Mikra Megillah Baylaila was a takana that only came up in the days of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Because that's the first one who says that you have to lay in the Megillah Baylaila is Rabbi Shua ben Levi on Dalet and Aleph. First, he says, remember that women are mechuyev in Mikra Megillah, and Rabbi Yosef Nes, and says, the Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi has another member regarding Mikra Megillah, that what? Chayvarim likrisus haMegillah balaylo ulushanasa bayom shenemar, and he's the one who quotes the psukim. So that's the suggestion of Shlomo LaVilna. He was a dayan of Vilna, in the late 1800s when they were printing the Vilna Shas. They have a Kiddushim in the back, so he suggests like that. The Rishayim assume not so. So here there's a Machlekes on Dalet and Aleph, Rabbi Natam and the Rambam. When do you recite Shachyana when you perform a mitzvah? Every day we put on tefillin. So every day we get so excited about Anachas Tzum, we say Shachyana? No. So some say the first time in your life that you put on tefillin, you say Shachyana. First time in a woman's life that she benches lich, so some postmen say she should say Shachyana. First time in your life. Where does that come from? That's the Gemara in Brochus on Lamed Ches. The Gemara says that a Kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he brings a carbon, so he should say Shachyanu, Mavar Shachyanu. Why is he saying Shachyanu? So Rashi and Tesis have different pshatim there. So one of the pshatim is, the first time in his life that he brings a carbon, he should say Shachyanu. Others say that there is no such din, that the first time in your life that you do, that you perform a mitzvah, you say Shachyanu. They say rather, on Mikra Megillah, which is a mitzvah abom is man lizman, once a year you learn the Megillah, once a year you blow shofar and so on, so a mitzvah yeshiva b'sukkah, from year to year you sit in sukkah, so a mitzvah abom is man lizman, and that you say shachyana. So what's the Nat Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Ches? The Gemara quotes this braisa that when a kohen comes to the Beis Hamikdash and he's going to do the avodah, he says Shachyanu. So the Taisus says, because they had mishmaris, and the kohen only comes, the kohanim were divided into 24 mishmaris, and every mishmar was divided into various batei yobes, either 6 or 7 batei yobes. So he only has, every 24 weeks, he has one day that he can be makriv karbonis, then he has to wait another 24 weeks till he has another day on which he can be makriv karbonis. So the ability to be makriv, the mitzvah of hakrovas karbonis on the part of the kohen, is the mitzvah of mizman lizman. It's not bishana lishana. It's not the same as mikra megillah once a year, or tkiyah shofar once a year, but it's once every 24 weeks. It's a half a year, once every half a year. So that's a mitzvah of mizman lizman, so you say shechyanu on that. So we recite Shachyanu on Mikra Megillah because we haven't read the Megillah in a long time. We haven't read the Megillah in a year. Shabbos, what about Purim in the morning? Do you say Shachyanu? He just said Shachyanu Balayla. He just read the Megillah Balayla. So what do you get so excited about? We put on tefillin every day. We don't get so excited that we say Shachyanu every day. So why get so excited about the Mikra Megillah Bayom? So the Rambam Taka holds that you don't recite Shachyanu Bayom. And the Mechaber Paschal is like the Rambam. The Sfardim follow that opinion. In Frankfurt, that was the minute that they didn't say Shechyanu on Mikra Megillah in the morning, but the Maharil was an Ashkenaz. He didn't follow Sfardishim and Hoggins, and the Sefer Maharil, it says he was the Balkari. The Maharil was the Shliach Tzibur. In short, so he didn't say Shechyanu out loud, but he said Shechyanu softly, because he followed the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that you do say Shechyanu in the morning. What's the Rabbeinu Tam's rationale? So he says, because the Mikra Megillah Bayom is Iker. That's more important. Mikra Megillah Balayla is also a mitzvah, but the Mikra Megillah Bayom is a bigger mitzvah than Balayla. So basically, we haven't heard such a knockout Mikra Megillah since last year. What we heard last night doesn't count. But the Mikra Megillah Bayom has some added feature, something much more than the Mikra Megillah Balayla. What does it have that's more than Balayla? So Rav Soloveitchik always used to say over this from Rav Shlomo Levilner, that the Mikra Megillah Balayla is only with the Rabban, the Mikra Megillah Bayom is with the Rikabola. Okay? If we say like that, so we understand. But if the Rishonim don't seem to assume like that. The Rishonim seem to assume on that Mishnah and Daf Chofam and Beis, when the Mishnah says, Kala Yam Kosher, the Mikra Megillah, so the Ritvo asks, how come it doesn't mention Kriyas HaLayla? It should say, Kala Layla Kosher, the Mikra Megillah. So he says, who are the Nami? It's understood. So they assumed that Bizman HaTanaim they already had. It wasn't instituted by Rabbi Shulman Levi. Not a Takana Mucheres, the Tkufas HaAmarayim. They assumed that it existed Bizman HaTanaim all the way back. That there was Mikra Megillah all the way back by Yom HaBalayla. So they said, so that's what the Achrayim suggests. The Marcheshes has another suggestion. Then maybe there's some places need to say, they're both on the same level of Chiyuv. They're both Midirabbanan, they're both Midirikabbalah, Mikra Megillah by Yom, Mikra Megillah HaBalayla. And maybe there's some added feature to the Mikra Megillah Bayom that's not there by Lila. What could it possibly be? So we point to the Gemara in Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks, how come we don't recite Hallel on Purim? we read the Megillah as a form of expressing Hallel, like on the occasion of Kriyat Yamsu, Bnei Israel, spontaneously recited Al Yashir, and the Chumash records it. Obviously, the fact that it's recorded in the Chumash implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu approved. He felt that that's a good thing to do. They did the right thing by reciting Oz Yashir. So the Gemara makes a Kal V'chomer that Mami Avdus Lecheus, one recites Shira, they recite a Shira Sayah, Mami Avdus Lecheus, I'm reading Shira, Misa Lechaim Lekolshkin. So on Purim, when there was a Sakonis Nefoshes, they wanted Lechashman Lehag Leah, but it's called Ehudim. So it certainly makes sense to recite Shira. So that's why we recite, that's why we read the Megillah. Reading of the Megillah is an implicit form of Shira. That's how the Gemara says over here also on Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says there are two sources from Tehillim to support Rabbi Shaul ben Levi's din that Chai Varim Likrisas and Megillah Balayla Lashanos HaBayam, to repeat it in the daytime. So the Gemara said originally they didn't know what it means Lashanos. It thought originally Likrus is a Megillah Balayla Torah Shebichzav Likro. Well, Lashanos means to learn the Torah Shebalpet, to learn Mishnayos in the daytime. Sof bin Olam Mekari Balayla Olamisna Masnitin Dido Bimomer, to learn the Torah Shebalpet in the daytime. So then Rabbi Yirmiyah told him, no, that's not what it means. Lashanos just means to repeat it. You read the Megillah twice. You read it by Laila, you read it by Yom. You don't have to recite Masnis and Didor, be Mama. So how do you know that you have to repeat Mikra and Megillah by Laila by Yom? So the Gemara has two sources. One source is Laman Yizamecha Chavod V'lo Yidom Hashem Alakai Liyalom Laideka. So that pasuk implies that when you want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Alakai Liyalom Laideka, I always praise you, I always thank you, Yizamecha, I sing Mirish V'sishbachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shevach V'hidoy all the time. So the Gemara is assuming that Mikra Megillah is a form of Halel, Mikra Megillah is a form of Shira. The first pasuk that the Gemara quoted there from Tilim was a different pasuk, where they were assuming that Mikra Megillah is a form of Tfilo. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk that when there is an Eish Tzara, that's the chapter in Tilim, Keli Keli Lama Azavtani, that we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eish Tzara and He saves us. So the pasuk says, Alakai, Ekra Yomam V'loisana, V'layla V'lo Domioli, if I daven in the daytime, if you don't answer my prayers, then I will repeat the tefillah balayla, and I will not stop. Lo domili, I will not withhold tefillah until you answer my prayers. So the Gemara says that chay varam likra says hamigilah balayla v'shanasu bayom, because yes, hamigilah is a form of tefillah. It's both. They're both correct. Likra megillah is kriya satanah. We assume that it's kisvi hakodesh. We paskin that it is mitamis hayadayim. So it's like leining haftarah from Navi, or leining any other megillah. So it's a Kriya Satanach. Secondly, it's a form of Hallel. The Gemara says that we read the Megillah because it's a form of Shira. Kavachamah from Az Yashir. But this is Mimisa Lachayim, more so than Miavdis Lachayim. And then also the Gemara says that it's a form of Tfilo. It's an implicit Tfilo and it's implicit Sheva. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba quotes that if you have a minion, so you can have a Bakari lane to be mighty all of the people in the minion. What if you don't have 10 people? Can the Balkari lane to be made to everybody else? Why not? I can't say Kiddush and Abdullah unless you have a minion. You don't say Shemei Kain unless than a minion. Why not? So the Mechaber quotes an opinion from the Kolbo. He doesn't quote a Machlek. He quotes from the Sefer Kolbo. It's one of the later Balei Atesis that you cannot be made to someone else but Tfilo if the other fellow is a Baki. That's at one of the end of Rosh Hashanah. If two people know how to daven, so each one should daven on his own. It's not right to say Shemei Kainan. That's what the Ran in the end of Nedarim, the Ran on the Rif in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, quotes from the Yerushalmi that there are three cases where we don't permit Shemei Kainan, but we insist that everybody should recite on their own. So one is Kriya Shema, everybody should be in the Kabbalah and Malchus Shemaim on their own. The second one is with respect to eating food. If you're eating food, you eat on your own, so when it comes to the bracha before and after eating, you should always recite the bracha on your own. You shouldn't rely on Shemei Kainan. That's what the Gemara says. And then the third one is tefillah. If you have a tzorach, if someone is sick by you and you need parnassah, you need a shidduch, whatever you need, so you should be mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu yourself. Why should you rely on somebody else? The Gemara seems to assume that these three exceptions to the rule, that when it comes to eating food, the bracha before and after, we don't allow Shemei Kohena, and with respect to Kriyashma and respect to tefillah, that this whole din is only midirabbanan, and it only applies heichad efsher. Let's say one person, he has laryngitis, he can't talk. He just had surgery, he's not allowed to talk. Mom, she can't talk at all. So, or he's an amharit, he doesn't know how to say the Shemon Esrei. He doesn't know how to daven, doesn't know how to say kriyashma. So if you have no brayer, so then the Gemara says, soifam avarach, ubur yaitse bibarachasa. Benching, the Gemara talks about. That was in addition to their own davening, so they felt that if a tzaddik will daven, it'll help better, it'll help more. The Gemara says, "V'sheish v'chol v'sof beiso, yelach etzol chacham yivakish ol avratim." Yeah, but that's in addition to my prayers. If I don't know how to daven, if I know how to daven, I'm not supposed to rely on Shemer Kohenah to be. I have to say my own tefillah, but I'm afraid my own tefillah may not do the trick. So then I should go to tzaddikim, that they should be mispalel also. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, that if you have 10 people listening to the Mikra Megillah, so we allow Shemei Kohenah, even though some of the people who are listening are able to read the Megillah on their own. If you have Betzibur, if you have a minion of 10, we allow Shemei Kohenah, even though someone is a Baki, he knows how to say on his own. But if you have less than a minion, We only allow Shemek Kainah if the listeners are unable to read the Megillah on their own. If some of the listeners are able to read on their own, then we don't allow Shemek Kainah. So the Magen Avraham says, what in the world is this all about? What is it based on? So he says, apparently this Kolbo, quoted by the Mechaber, is treating Mikra Megillah as a form of Tfilah. As if it's Tfilah, that's Taka the Din and Tfilah. That if a person is a Baki, he's able to daven on his own, you shouldn't rely on Shemek Kainah. Right, Kiddush is not. Kiddush and Avdala is a plain, it's not one of the three. It's not with respect to eating food, and it's not with respect to Kriyat Shema, it's not with respect to Tefillah.
Then why are people makpid on it?
Why people makpid?
Every single child say Kiddush for himself, I mean, the guy
that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchot Tzitzis. If many people are putting on a talis of Vasachas, is it preferable that each one should say his own? Sort of mitzvah bo yosem, and bishluch, everybody should say his own. Or would you say no? The Vilna Gaon says it's preferable that one should recite the brach on behalf of the whole group, because Beroivam Hadras Melech. That's a different shalom. But no one is going to say, let's say by Kiddush, no one's going to say that B'dievid you're not Yotze. No, of course you say Shemei Kainah. Just a question. The Mechaber holds that it's preferable that each one should say on his own, and the Vilna Gaon holds Faket, it's preferable that one should say to be Moitzi everybody. But he was talking Asvar that you're not even Yotze B'dievid.
And why aren't they
Makpidim
also Hamotzi?
Right. So on Hamotzi is a Medina de Gemara. The Rishalmi says when it comes to eating food, one person cannot recite the bracha on behalf of the other one, not the bracha shalafanah, not the bracha shalafanah. But we do it all the time. We do it all the time by Hamotzi. So how is that? So the answer is the Gemara says that's a special din. Gemara says you need Haseba. In order to be Moitzi, one person should say Moitzi, to be Moitzi the other one. So the Gemara says you require Hesedah. The Gemara says nobody eats by Hesedah. So Tosfos says Yeshiva Didan ke Hesedah the two. The fact that everybody's sitting around the table, so it's considered as if the Chabura is eating together, and the Chabura only is obligated to offer one bracha. It's not based on Shemei Koina. When I say Hamoitzi, and you're sitting at the table, it's not based on Shemei Koina. If it would have been based on Shemei Koina, you wouldn't have required Hesedah. You wouldn't have required Yeshiva Didan. Let's say one person says Hamotzi and half the people are walking around. They didn't sit down at the table yet. So it says in the Gemara that they're not Yotze. You got to say their own Hamotzi. You require either Bizmana Talmud, you require a Seba. Bizmana says you require Yeshiva Didan, because Seba to do. It's a different vort. The vort is that the whole Chabura together offers one Hamotzi. The whole Chabura is only Mechuyah to offer one Hamotzi.
This is even if I'm saying Amen. Once I'm saying Amen, so you don't even need the Indian of Shemek on it.
That it's also based on Shemei Kainah. It's a fancier form of Shemei Kainah. But still, Kol Hodo Amen is a stronger form of Shemei Kainah. But still, it doesn't help. That's what the Gemara says. It doesn't help. With respect to benching, we only allow one person to bench to be Motzi the others if it's Mizuman. A Mizuman of three or more, because then the Halacha declares the whole Chabura is only obligated to offer one Birchas HaMozen. Not that the others are Yotze with Shemei Kainah. We don't allow Shemei Kainah by benching. In our Torah, we do allow it. So Bishas HaTchak, if there are only two people, there's no Mezumah, there are only two, and one doesn't know how to recite the benching kosher. So then we say, Bishas HaTchak, we revert back to the Din Deraisa, Seifa Mevorach, Ubur Yotze B'Bechosa. So then we rely on the Din Deraisa that you do say Shemei Kainah. Or let's say Kriyashma. We don't allow Shemei Kainah, everybody should say the wrong Kriyashma. If the guy Mamish can't talk, so the alternative is, he just won't say Kriyashma. So then we do. We revert back to the din deraisa. So we say Shemei Kainah and Kriyat Shema also.
And they say, do you want to have everyone, every single child make his own bracha for Hamotzi? Because that's what happens also a lot of times. The father makes Hamotzi, and then he passes on the bread, and like everyone makes his own Hamotzi.
Okay. So that's a machlok. The Vilna Gaon holds that it's preferable not to do like that. Vilna Gaon holds that it's a berei von habes melech, that one person should say the bracha to be Motzi the others whenever it can work. If it can't work, it can't work. So let me just finish this. The Taisa says that the Rabbeinu Tamshita is that you say Shehechayanu even in the morning, even though we just read the Megillah Balayla, because there's some added dimension. What's the added dimension by Yom as opposed to Balayla? Why is the Mikra Megillah by Yom more important than the Mikra Megillah Balayla? So we say this, you all like Rabbi Shlomo Le Vilna, that Balayla is only a Takona from Rabbi Shoban Levin, by Yom is Medivir Kabbalah. And earlier Takonef and Anshek Nesagdela, that's a very good. What if you hold the Balayla by Yom the same level of seriousness? You have to add on, that's what the Marcheshes suggest. You have to add on perhaps like the Gemara says on Yudalad, that the Gemara says, why wasn't this a violation of Baal Tosef? This is the first mitzvah midirabbanan that the Chachamim introduced. They never had any takanas until Mikra Megillah. Chutz mi Mikra Megillah, that was the first one. The Gemara says it's based on Oz Yashir. That it says in Chumash that the Oz Yashir recital was approved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He recorded it in the Chumash, so it's a Kal V'chomer. Ma mi avdus l'cheris, they said Shira, it's a proper thing. Mi misa l'chaim l'koshkin. So then the Gemara says, how come we don't say halal? The Gemara says, we do say halal. The reciting of the Mikra Megillah itself is the halal. So that's what the Marchesh suggests, that maybe halal has to, Mishnah says that halal has to be recited by Yom and not by Laila. That's the Mishnah far from the base. If you say halal by Laila, you're not Yaitzin. So maybe the Mikra Megillah by Laila is only Kriyas HaMegillah. Maybe it's a form of Kriyas Tanakh. Maybe it's a form of Tefillah, but it's not a form of halal. And only the Mikra Megillah by Yom has its added dimension of being a Kiyam of halal. So maybe that's what the Rabbeinu Tam is driving at, why you recite Shachyanu by Yom, even though you just read the Megillah by Laila, because there's an added dimension, namely of the halal, that we didn't have by Laila. Yeah. That's what it says in the Mishnah Brura. The one who benches Mezumin is supposed to, Medina the Gemara, only he benches, and the other just listen and you say Amen. Then the Mechaber writes that Bizman Hazeh, people find that everybody has ADD. What do you call that? They can't concentrate. They can't pay attention. Yeah. Attention deficit. They find it hard to pay attention. People like to talk. People like to talk, they don't like to listen. And the Medrashim says that Baruch Hashem created us with two ears and one mouth. It means that we should listen twice as much as we should talk, at least twice as much as we should talk. We shouldn't talk more than we listen. We should listen more than we talk. So the Mechaber writes that people find it, he looks around, people find it difficult to pay attention. So we're afraid that his mind may wander and he won't pay attention to the Mezamin. The Mechaber recommends he should say along softly with the Mezamin. When the Mezamin is reciting the benching out loud, all of those who are listening should say along softly with him. The benching, yeah. But the Mishnah Brura says, but that doesn't change the Ikar HaDin. The Ikar HaDin is that the Mezamin should recite the whole benching out loud, at least till the Yom HaYichasrein. You say till the end.
Is this Marcheshes also the chiluk between Noshim and Anoshim? Like, Noshim, Tizu says Noshim might only recite with Shmiah. They don't have the aspect of Hal.
Some suggest like that, yeah. Some suggest that that's perhaps the pshat in the Bahag, that the women are not mukhiv in halal, so when they read the Megillah, it's not Petaras halal, and the men have that added kiyum. Yeah, but then if you say it like that, then it comes out that if you put them both together, that women should be able to, the Bahag's hezber only applies by Yom and not by Laila, so a woman should be able to be mighty man by Laila. It wouldn't appear so in the Bahag. He seems to say bein by Yom, bein by Laila, a woman wouldn't be able to be mighty the man. The Mishnah.
For many generations they've been saying halal, many generations Yom Suf, but for many generations.
Right.
Is that a takana? So how can we say that the Purim Mikra Megillah was the first takana? Wasn't halal a takana?
Wasn't halal takana the Rabbanim? Some Achrayim, some Rishonim think that halal is their Raisa. I mean, if you hold that halal is the Rabbanim, the Gemara says, who said it? It was said way before Mikra Megillah. A good kindness. Yeah. I don't know.
So why is the Gemara on
Yudalad Amar Aleph? The Gemara on Yudalad Amar Aleph says the first mitzvah that was introduced with the Rabbanon was Mikra Megillah. There were many Xeris before, but that was the first mitzvah. That's how the Ramban interprets the Gemara. So you're asking, according to the way we assume that Halal was only the Rabbanon, and there are different opinions, Halal Zami Amaroi, that was instituted way before the days of Mikra Megillah. You have a very strong kash. I don't know. We assume the Mishnah says in the beginning of the third parak that you can read the Megillah either standing or sitting. So in the Tshuvas Agayim, they have a lot of Gayim that say that l'chatzili you have to stand, and it's only b'di'evet that the Yotzei Mikra Megillah in a sitting position. Hakoris haMegillah amid v'yasher. Hakoris aloshim b'di'evet. So we don't. Most people don't follow that Shitas Agayim. We assume that it's permissible l'chatzili to sit when you listen to the Mikra Megillah. The only one who stands, the Rambam says, is the Balkari, when it rains B'tzibim, and take over that Tzibim. So the Machtus HaShekel on the bottom of the page, Machtus HaShekel is a commentary on the Mogen Avraham. Mogen Avraham was always written very briefly, so the Machta Shekel always expands and explains what his references are, what he's always alluding to things. Tells you to look over there and look over there. Never finishes in a sentence. So the Machta Shekel writes a comment that the Mishnah Brewer quotes La Halacha, that even though everybody sits for the Mikra Megillah, but everybody has to stand when it comes to the Bracha. Because in the beginning of Simen Ches, in the Hilchas Tzitzis and Orach Chaim, it says that one should stand when you say the Bracha over Lehisata Tzitzis, when you put on a talis. And then the Magen Avraham expands, you should stand when you say any Bracha, unless that's Asher Yotzar, or thunder, lightning, any Bracha, unless it's a Birchas Hanenin over food. So the Gemara says in Gittin that it's not healthy to eat food or to drink beverages in a standing position. So that bracha should be recited also in a sitting position. Since you're going to eat or drink in a sitting position, so you should say that bracha also in a sitting position. The Mishnah talks about Isha Yoshevis Vikotza Chalosa Aruma. The Mishnah talks about a woman being saying the bracha in a sitting position, the bracha on Afrashas Chala. So the Magen Avraham says that the Chala is only a matir. He has a chiddush in Simeches. He says Afrashas Chala is not a mitzvah. It's not really a bichas a mitzvah because Afrashas Chala is not a mitzvah. It's only a matir that you're allowed to eat the food. So the bracha of Afrashas Chala is basically like a bichas aneni. Because Afrashas Chala just enables you to eat the food. So a bichas aneni you recite in a sitting position. But he thinks that all bichas a mitzvah, based on the Tshuvas HaGadim, all Birchas HaMitzvah should be recited in a standing position. So that's what the Machta Shekel says, that even though that's in recent years the Mishnah Brewer became very popular, everybody knows what it says in Mishnah Brewer. When I was growing up, we never heard of Mishnah Brewer. And I didn't live so many centuries ago. I don't know. People never heard of Mishnah Brewer. People didn't do this. I remember Mishnah, nobody stood for the Brachas HaMikra Megillah. There's a new thing. The Mishnah Brewer became popular. The Mishnah Brewer quotes this Machzus HaShekel, Halacha LaMaisa, that everybody should stand for the brachas on the Megillah. So the Pnei Yeshua in Megillah has a taina against that. He says, yeah, correct. The Magen Avraham says he's supposed to stand for all Birchas HaMitzvah. That's correct. We treat the Birchas HaMitzvah like the mitzvah itself. So any mitzvah that you're supposed to do in a standing position, you should recite the bracha also in a standing position. Netilas Lulav. You're going to do the mitzvah Netilas Lulav. Kiyah Shofar. You're going to perform the mitzvah in a standing position. So the bracha should also be recited in a standing position. But it comes to Mikra Megillah, we follow the practice of the Ruba, the Ruba of the Rishayim. Not like the Gona. Most people do not stand for Mikra Megillah. So why should you have to stand for the bracha of a Mikra Megillah? Well, the bracha is Mochamed and the mitzvah. The whole idea that the Magen Avraham meant in Simeches, B'Shem HaGonim, is that you should treat the Birchas HaMitzvah like the mitzvah itself. But if the mitzvah itself is performed by yeshiva, so there's nothing wrong with having the bracha recited by yeshiva.
What's that thing? How come a lot of people, when they make kiddush, so they even say the bracha of Reitam, but not in standing, but for food, you should be sitting?
Yeah, normally a birchas hananen, we sit. Right, normally we sit. Out of respect for the Kiddush. Kiddush is a bracha d'oraisa. Out of respect for the Kiddush that they want to stand.
But if the bracha isn't on a Kiddush, the bracha is
drinking. Yeah. But still, it's part of the Kiddush. So since they chose to stand for the Kiddush, so therefore they want to stand for the... But then they sit down for the drinking. Because the Gemara says it's not healthy to eat or to drink in a standing position. Shulchan Aruch quotes a minute that the Arba Psukei Geula we say along with the Balkorek. So some think mistakenly that this is a new minig in connection with Mikra Megillah in order to retain everyone's attention, in order that the children should pay attention. So that's why, or whatever reason they say, it's a new minig to recite Arba Psukei Geula, Ahir Ma'asar of Simchas Asvikar, and the other Psukim to recite it along with the Balkorek. Truth of the matter, when you look in the Tshuvas HaGoinim, say, well, Eshkol quotes it, and others quote the Tshuvas HaGoinim, they say this is part of a bigger minig. We say, on Tainas Siva, when we lay in Baichal, so everybody says along, Hashem, Hashem, Kal Racham Echanon. When you finish Eicho, they say, Hashvein Hashem Elocha, V'nav Shuvach HaDei Shemeni Kikedem. So it's part of a broader minig. The minig is the Psuki Geula, Yeshua, Nechome, Kapora, Slicha, all year long. In the days of the Goinim, they had more. We the only remnants that we have are the above Suki Geula and Purim, and then Hashem Hashem Kel Rach Mechanun, and Hashem Hashem Eilach Menashuva. But in the days of the Gemara, they had it all year long. There were certain haftaris with the psukim of Necham and Yeshua and Geula that the Tzibu used to say along also with the Balkorim. So that's a very old minhag from the days of the Gaonim. The question is, the Gemara says that we reapply the principle of Ruba Kukuloi to Mikra Megillah. The Gemara says it's applied on two levels. Is that Gemara? Where's that Gemara? The Gemara says if the Megillah is written Rubai, it's Yutches on base, Tana Rabbanan. It says if the Sefer left out a couple of letters here and there, a couple of letters are rubbed out, a word here and there is rubbed out, as long as Rubai is written, Loi Kasha Habu Kula Habu Miktasa. If Rav of the Megillah is Biksav, then you can learn from such a Megillah. So it's a double Chiddush, that you say Ruba Kukula to be Maksha the Megillah, you assume in a Sefer Torah, that if you're missing Sefer Torah Shechaser Isachas, the whole Sefer Torah is possible. That's how the Rambam writes, and that's the accepted opinion. Rather, not all of Rishonim say like that. The Gemara uses a lashon Sefer Torah Shechaser Yiriyah Achas in Korban Books. Missing a Yiriyah. A Yiriyah means from the Tfar to the Tfar. A Yiriyah has a minimum of three columns on it. Has three Amudim. Has between three and seven Amudim. So it says in the Sefer Torah, missing a Yiriyah, you can't play. Of course you can't play. I mean, this week is Parshas Tzav. And missing a Yiriyah in Bereshis or in Dvarim somewhere. So it says you're not allowed to learn from such a Sefer Torah. But it sounds if it's Chaser Isachas, it would appear from the Gemara that you may learn. So the Rambam says not so. The Rambam, the question is, where did the Rambam get it from? The Rambam got it from the Gaonim. Where did they get it from? The Gemara says Chaser Yiriyah. So some Rishonim take the Gemara at face value. Only Chaser Yiriyah you can't learn. Anything less than that you can learn from the Sefer Torah. And we follow the Rambam. If you know in advance that the Sefer Torah is Chaser Isachas, so you're not allowed to learn from that Sefer Torah. So that's Kula number one. That we say over here, if you have a Megillah, it's only Nichtav Rubai, the Miut is missing. So we say it's a Kosher Megillah. And then Chiddush number two is, but the Balkari has to say the rest Balkar. So what, he's going to learn from two different Megillahs. He's going to learn this, the part that's written here, he'll learn here. And then the part that's missing here, the word that's missing here, he'll say from another Megillah. So it says no. The rest of it will say Balkar. So we have another kula that Ruba Kukulai applies with respect to Kriya Mitoch Haksav. It's a kula in the Ksivas HaMegillah that it has a Heksha Megillah, and it's a kula in Mikra Megillah that if you lay in Ruba Mitoch Haksav, that's also acceptable. So the Pashtus is that this kula, that if you lay in Ruba Mitoch Haksav, I say Ruba Kukulai, it's good. This is probably only B'diyevet, Stamala Hatchili, you should have Kula Mitoch Haksav. Like it says in the Gemara in Arbe Pesachim that if you drink Roiv Kais of the Arbe Kaisis, so you Yotze. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Bach, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Bach, that that's only B'dievet. Like Hatzchidish, you really drink Kolakos. Kiddush and Abdullah, there is no such din. There is no mitzvah to drink Kolakos. The din is you recite Kiddush and Abdullah over a Kos Yain, Avroch Halakos. And then the Gemara has the din, Hamavarach Tzorach Sheyitam. You have to take a sip. And then the Gemara says, how much do you have to take a sip? You drink Maloy Lugma of Maspik, that's enough. You don't have to, there's no din l'chatchila. You have to drink the whole kos and you say Ruba Kukuloi, and it's considered kida, you drank the whole kos. The whole din is Amavar Tzorch Sheyitom, you need Te'ima, and the definition of Te'ima is a Maloy Lugma. But here by Arba Kaisis, we assume that it's different. It's not just the Broch Ala Kos, we assume that there's a mitzvah to drink the whole kos. So l'chatchila, the Bach says you should drink Kol HaKos. And B'dieved, we apply Ruba Kukula. If the person is afraid he's going to get drunk, he's not going to feel well. So then when Meko doesn't have enough wine, can't afford the wine. So then we say Ruba Kukula B'dieved. But L'Hatzili should have to have Kula. How did the Bach know that whenever there's a din of Ruba Kukula, L'Hatzili we would recommend that you should have Kula, that Ruba Kukula is only B'dieved? Maybe Ruba Kukula is good L'Hatzili? So that he got from the Gemara in Chula, in the beginning of the second period. The Mishnah says, HaShechei, Roy Bechut, but when you shecht an oaf, you have to shecht either the kona or the veshet. When you shecht the behemoth, you have to shecht both the kona and the veshet. The kona is the windpipe, and the veshet, Vav Shintes, is the food pipe, the esophagus. So by behemoth, you have to shecht shnei simonim, the kona and the veshet. And by oaf, it's enough if you shecht either the kona or the veshet. So the Mishnah says, Hashechet Roy Bechut ba'oif, Arof Shnein bebehemesh, chitosak sheira. So the more comments on the Loshen HaMishnah sounds like it's B'dieved. HaShoichet Shchitoset Sheir. If you shecht it right, it's good B'dieved. And how much do you want L'Hatzile? You should cut all the legs. just cut all you should shoot the animal. What are you supposed to do l'chatchila? That's what you do l'chatchila. So why does the Mishnah present it for the Eved? So the Gemara says, no, l'chatchila you shouldn't rely on Ruba Kukula. L'chatchila you should share kol shnei asimon bebeime and kol asimon ba'oif. And it's only the Eved that you say Ruba Kukula. So that's where the Bach got it from, that whenever we apply Ruba Kukula, if you have the ability to do kulo, so you should l'chatchila, you should do kulo, that'll be more of a mitzvah b'shlei musa. So the pashtus is over here also, that this, the second din, that you say ruba kekula nekriya mitor chaksav, so l'chatchila should have kriyas kola megillah mitor chaksav. This is b'di'evet. If it turns out that the megillah that I have is missing letters or words, and I don't have another megillah, so lein kula mitor chaksav. So then I say that Ruba Kukula is enough, and Ruba Kukula, Lein, Mitoch HaKsav, is good enough. So let's say if you're afraid that you're going to miss a word here and there, in the Mikra Megillah, so the din is, it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you should have a Chumash in front of you. If you see that you missed a word, to say that word on your own, but you think from a Pasul HaSefer, the Chumash is not written on a Klaf, it's only a Kosher Megillah, if it's written Kosav Al HaSefer Bidyo. So then the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, well, that's okay. We rely on Ruba Kukula as long as the Megillah is a Kosher Megillah. And Rov of the Megillah, I heard Mitoch HaKsav, and the Miwot, I'm going to say, Balpeh. So that's acceptable, provided all the words are in the proper order. Let's say I missed all the 54 times that the name Haman appears in the Megillah. So after the Baal Kori finishes, I'll say 54 times, Haman, 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 Haman. So you're not yet, because it's Kori Lamafreya Lo Yotza. That's the first line in the second parak in Megillah. You have to have all the words and all the psukim have to be in order. But if you heard in order from the Baal Kori, and then when you miss the word Haman, you miss another word, you say it right away from a printed chumash, and then you pick up by listening to the Baal Kori. So that's good, everything is in order, and that's okay. So l'chatchila would be preferable to hear the whole Megillah mitoch haksav. So if you have a kosher Megillah, as opposed to having a chumash in front of you, if you have a kosher Megillah, so that would be a heder. Hold on to a kosher Megillah in front of you. When you miss a word or two from the Baal Kori, you should say the word from the kosher Megillah. So that would be an added heder. The shal is that the minik hakohol, the minik from the days of the Gaon, that everybody says the abo psuke geula, like hudim ha'isar l'shem chusas mikar, and so on, the other psukim. So everybody says those psukim, and you say it from a chumash. You don't say it from a kosher Megillah written on a klaf. So we killed the l'chatchila. We have a minig that we ruined the l'chatchila. We lain four psukim baal peh. Why should we have such a ridiculous minig? Why should we insist on fulfilling kula mitoch haksav? So the first three psukim is not so big, because the Baal Kori didn't finish the Mikra Megillah yet. So every time we say the first pasuk baal peh, we didn't finish yet. So the Baal Kori lengthened mitoch haksav. So by the time he finishes the whole Megillah, you have heard everything mitoch haksav. But the fourth of the psuke nechama, the fourth of the psuke gula, is the last pasuk in the Megillah. So we heard 99% in the Megillah, we just didn't hear the last pasuk. Then we say the last pasuk from a printed chumash. So we're yotzei. We finished it already. So the minute we're yotzei, so what does it help that the Baal Kori is going to repeat the last pasuk? We just killed it.
He has to be yotzei,
but we're not yotzei the lachatchila of kula mitoch haksav. So that's why some suggest that when it comes to the last pasuk, let the Baal Kori say the last pasuk first, mitoch haksav. And after he says it, then you can scream it out. Then you can say, or say it and have a kavana not to be yotzei. Because once you've already been yotzei b'di'eved, you can't repeat. Let's say a person was yotzei netilas lulav. He took the dalet minim in such a fashion that he's yotzei b'di'eved. Then he's going to pick it up a second time and be yotzei l'chatchila. So we assume that famous b'shem Rav Chaim, we assume that once you've been yotzei b'di'eved, it doesn't help if you're going to repeat the mitzvah a second time to chaparayna l'chatchila. There's a Rashi in Erevin that says against Rav Chaim, but in the yeshivas everybody knows the Rav Chaim. That there is no such thing. Once you were yotzei the mitzvah b'di'eved, it doesn't make sense to repeat the mitzvah again a second time to be yotzei l'chatchila. The l'chatchila is the first time you want to do it. So that's why the last pasuk of the four psukei geula, the fourth pasuk is the last pasuk in the whole Mikra Megillah. So that's why that pasuk poses a problem.
Akar Ruach Kuro, according to Rav Chaim, is from Acharei Mahatos, that explained all these dinim of Rosh. So the Pashas is, the way Rav Chaim explained it, is that it's Ki'u She'en Shamiyat, and that you look, so are we going to say there it's also only a lich? If you're learning it from...
What can you do? Each member of the Bezin has to give his honest to goodness opinion. He has to give his honest opinion on the thing. So if you have a split vote, you have no choice. You can't do lechatchila. How can you rig it to have lechatchila? They should all say the same thing. So if you have no choice, you have no choice. So you rely on Ruba Kukula. But whenever you have an option of either relying on Ruba Kukula, having Mamish Kulay, so then the box says, based on the Gemara and Chulin, that we prefer Kulay. We try to avoid, and this is, we try to avoid Ruba Kukula. The Gemara on Hey Amid Aleph has a machlokes Rav and his Talmud Rabasi, where the Mikra Megillah needs Asara or does not need Asara. Rav says Megillah Bismana, the top line on Hey Amid Aleph and Megillah Bismana Kari Mos Afila B'Yochid Shalom Bismana, you need Asara. Rabasi says Afila Bismana, you need Asara. So in this Gemara there's a machlokes Harishainim B'Feirish Balamor and Tosfos and Rashi. When Rabasi insists that you need Asara, Afilo Megillah Bismana, does he mean Likuva? That if you lay in the Megillah Biyachid, you're not Yotze? Or the whole Rabasi's Chumr was only Alachatchila, to be Mahader Asara? So that's how Machlokes in the Rishonim over here. So anyway, the Gemara says that although Rav disagreed, Rav disagreed with the Talmud Rabasi, and he held that Megillah Bismana, it's permissible to lay without a minion. Nonetheless, he was mahadav hatchila to be choshish for Rabasi's opinion. He respected Rabasi's Talmud, even though he disagreed with him. So he was mahadav hatchila to have asar. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that we lahatchila should always have. You should arrange to hear the Megillah b'asar. There's a bach on Hilchos Megillah where he quotes the Rishonim that even that's not enough. He says you can gather. I can gather a minion in my home. I'll be able to get a minion in my home. But he says more correct is to go to shul. You have Beroivam, Habras Melach, you have a bigger kohol. Not just that you should have the Gemara, only says you should have Basar as opposed to the Yochid, less than Asar. And the Bach quotes the Rishonim would say you should have even more than Asar. You should really have it the Beis HaKnesses. So here is a shaila, this Asar, does it mean it's like Asar for a minion? Like for Adovish Abigdusha, that women are not mitzvah. But he say, no, the Asar over here is really for the purpose of Pisuminita. So maybe women should be able to be mitzvah for the Asar. So this is a discussion the Ramah quotes from the Torah, that this was a machlekes in the Rishonim. Ashkenazim usually follow the opinions of the Balei HaTosfos. And the Tosfos' opinion was that women are not mitzvah. That's the Tosfos in Brachos. On the first Omid Beis in Perek Shlosh Shachlu, the Gemara has an expression that even if you have 10 women, it doesn't count. 10 women, it doesn't count. So Tosfos wants to know, 10 women, it doesn't count, but again, to what? So they say, Mikra Megillah. So it's not considered Mikra Megillah Basar. Others say yes, and others are Mesupik. So there are more sense, since it's a suffix, so we should go to Chumrah. So that's why the practice always was that if when they lay in the Mikra Megillah for the women, if they don't have 10 men in the shul, they only have many women. A lot of shuls, they right after they lay in the Megillah, so the husbands go home and they babysit, and then the wives, who were babysitting before, come to hear the second Mikra Megillah. So if in the second Mikra Megillah you don't have 10 men, so then we wouldn't say the Bracha Haravis Rivenu. Because the Ramah quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that the Bracha Haravis Rivenu that's recited after Mikra Megillah should only be recited if you have Asara. If you don't have a minion, you shouldn't recite that Bracha. The Bracha before you say even B'yachid. The three brachas, you say, Shekhar Rishonim Sasson, Amdikon, Megillah, Shasson, Nisim, Abbasena, Shachyanu, what the Rishonim call Manach, the Gemara calls it Manach, Mem Nun Ches, the Rashi Tevis, Amdikon, Megillah, and Nisim, Shasson, Nisim, Abbasena, and Shachyanu, so the three brachas before that you mechuyif to recite. The Mishnah says, Mach Mishinaga Levarach Yivarchu, Mach Mishinaga Shalom Levarach, Lo Yivarchu. So the Gemara says, that's only with respect to the bracha Shalom Achreha. Because the bracha shel acharei, Rabbis Rivenu, Adon Zinenu, that's not Medina. That's on Chafalot on the base. The first piece of Gemara in the third parak in Megillah. So the Gemara says, but the bracha shel afanah, the three brachas, Mikra Megillah and Shasa Nisim and Shachyanu, that you mechuyiv Medina to recite. That you say the three brachas even the Yochid. But the bracha Rabbis Rivenu, so that's only the Tzibah. That's what the Ramah says. And even though the Vilna Goyen says the Ramah made a mistake, He says that there is no such Talmud Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is only talking about the bracha Hashanachalam Terasem, the bracha Shalachareh that's recited after an aliyah. So that bracha is only recited at Tzibur. But the bracha Rabbis Rivenu, according to the Bir Agra, should be recited even B'yachid. But the later Pasuk say we don't follow the Gra on this because we assume that the whole bracha, and the Mishnah says, Makom Shenagel Levarach Yivarachom, Makom Shenagel Shelo Levarach Lo Yivarachom. That's the Mishnah in the beginning of the third Perek, and Chafalachom and Aleph. So since the whole bracha Shalach Reho is totally Minigam Makom, so true, our Mekaymas have the Minig that we do recite the bracha Rabbis Yivin, but our Minig for many centuries has been, whether the Gra is right or wrong, the Minig has been like the Ramah. For quite a few centuries before the Ramah came on the scene, and after the Ramah, till the Vilna Gaon came and he enlightened everybody that there is no such Yerushalmi. But the minig, right or wrong, has been that we haven't been reciting Aravis Rivenu B'yachid. So that's what the later Achranim say, since the Broch Aravis Rivenu told him minig amakam, and our minig is that we haven't recited the B'yachid, so we take it, don't say B'yachid. So you only say that's what the Ramah says, you don't recite the Broch Aravis Rivenu if you have 10 men. If you have 5 men and 5 women, or you have 10 women, so then the Rambam says we should treat it as a suffix, because it was a diun in Rishonim, and the Baal Vayatayis itself that you don't say that the women are not mitzarfim to the minyan, just like women are not mitzarfim to a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah, for Kedush and Kaddish, also women are not mitzarfim to the Asor over here. He said, if you should assume that women are only midirabbanan. Possibility? Okay. Possibility. Says the Shulchan Aruch that it's not right to eat before Kriyas HaMegillah, even if they're mitzaras harbin, even if it's starving. It's preferable to be makdim the mikra Megillah a little bit, so they should have the first minyan should be for the women. If the women find it more difficult to fast than the men, so they should have the first minyan should be for the women, and the second minyan should be for the men. Whatever. But it says it's not right. It says I'm starving if they're. They have no prayer, so then they should have a bite. But more correct is that not. The Gemara in the first parak speaks a little bit about the Sudas Purim, not too much. The Gemara says, Sudas Purim shasol balaylo layotzi idechai vosan. That's on Zayin on the base, right before the Mishnah. So on this Gemara, there are more quotes from the Mordechai that says, Amachloikos HaRishayim, what does it mean? So the Pasha Pshat is, that you're not yet to the suit at all by Lila. Other Rishonim say no, that it means that it's not sufficient. So just like on every Shabbos in Yom Tov, you have to have a suit by Lila, you have to have a suit by Yom. So to Purim, you have to have 2 suits. You have to have a suit by Lila and a suit by Yom. If suit is Purim, Shachola by Lila, that's all he did. Layot Siddich of Asa, it's insufficient. Because you have to have 2 suits, Achas by Lila, Achas by Yom. So the Rambam writes regarding the suit of Purim, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, when Purim falls down on Friday, a lot of people feel uncomfortable eating flesh in the morning. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, well, have melchik. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that you have to have flesh. That's true. In the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say you have to have flesh. But in the Rambam, it says, when the Rambam writes Hilchas Purim, so he says the Sudas Purim has to be Bayom, and it has to be Basa V'yayin, and he says the Yayin should be Ad Delo Yoda. That's the Rambam. The Radovel of Soloveitchik pointed out that it would appear from the Rambam that if a person stam gets drunk, shalom, betel chasuda, that is not yet to the mitzvah of Adol Yoda. Adol Yoda is a prat. It's not a separate mitzvah Adol Yoda. There's a mitzvah of suda, and what's on the menu in the suda should be bus of the yayin, and how much yayin should it be? Adol Yoda. That's the shear and the yayin that you should have.
Well, then, according to those opinions, we're saying that you have to have a suda on the night and the day, and you should be Adol Yoda.
Okay. So in Europe there were different communities where they had different minhagim regarding eating. Everybody's starving, Leil Purim. Everybody's hungry. They just fasted the whole day on Tainus Esther. Everybody's going to eat something. So the question is, do you have to have a fleshig meal by Laila or not? So they were in Europe. There were different communities. Some communities they were makbid bedavke to have Fleshig meal by Lilo, Leil Purim, and a Fleshig meal by Yom, Boss of a Yayin. In others, they will be Dafke Makfid to have Milchiks by Lilo, so no one should think that they're in fulfillment of the Suda. That the Suda is only by Yom and not by Lilo. Shulchan Aruch says that if Purim falls out on Friday, like this year, so they quote the Gemara in the last Perek Misochim, where it says the Mishnah starts in the last Perek Misochim, Arvi Psochim, Samach Lemincha, Lo Yechol Odom Atche Techshach, in order Kadesh Yechol Korban Pesach L'Teyovin, in order Kadesh Yechol Matel L'Teyovin. So the Gemara raises the question, why is it, what does it mean, Samach Lemincha? Samach, we assume, means a half an hour before. That's how the Rashbam says. Samach means a half an hour before. Not necessarily true that all the Rishonim agree with the Rashbam, but that's the accepted opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam doesn't seem to hold from the half hour. But in Shulchan Aruch, they always accept this Rashbam. Samach means a half an hour. In Samach L'Mincha, which Mincha is in Mincha G'dayla, Mincha K'tan, Mincha G'dayla is a half an hour after Chatzoy. So if Samach means a half an hour, the Samach L'Mincha G'dayla means Chatzoy. Because Mincha G'dayla is a half an hour after Chatzoy. So Samach means a half an hour. So does the Mishnah mean you shouldn't eat food on Erev Pesach after Chatzos? Or does it mean Samach L'Mincha K'tana? Tanan. Mincha Ktana is 2.5 hours before Sof Hayom. So Samach, the Mincha Ktana would be 3 hours before Sof Hayom. Shalosh Shos before Sof Hayom. So this is a discussion in the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim. How do you read the Pshat in the Mishnah? So we pass in Halacha Lamaisa that it means Samach L'Mincha Ktana. That on Erev Pesach, that's the original Mishnah. On Erev Pesach, you're permitted to eat food up until Gimel Shos Achronos. The Shoah's Manios until Samach L'Mincha Kitana. It's interesting in Hilchas Sukkah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that we have a Gzeres Shavah Chamishasa Chamishasa. The Gemara has in the end of the second parak in Sukkah that we have equations between some of it. You don't have to sit in Sukkah on Pesach, you don't eat Matzah on Sukkahs, but we have an equation, a connection between Chamishasa Chamishasa of Sukkahs and Pesach. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says, and based on the Yerushalmi, that we equate the two with respect to this prat also. That just like we don't permit people to eat Erev Pesach Samach L'Mincha, so too Kadesh Yechol Matzah L'Teyavim, so too Kadesh Yechol Tesukah L'Teyavim, we don't permit people to eat Samach L'Mincha on Erev Sukkot. Except there, it's a pella, there, the Ramah writes, you shouldn't eat Samach L'Mincha G'dolah. In Hilchas Pesach, that's the original din that's in the Mishnah, Arvi Pesachim, Lo Yechol Adam, Samach L'Mincha, Ad Shetech Shah, Kedei Sheyecho Matzah L'Teyavon. So there it says, there the Gemara raised the question, and we assume La Halacha that the Gemara's Maskana is a little unclear. So we assume the Maskana is L'Hakyo, that only Samach L'Mincha K'tan is forbidden. Samach L'Mincha G'dol is Mutter. And Hilchas Sukkah is Astir and Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't make sense. In Hilchas Sukkah, where we're equating, we're learning out Chamishasa, Chamishasa, so in Hilchas Sukkah we're more machmir than we are in Hilchas Pesach. You say you're not allowed to eat Samach L'Mincha G'dolo on Erev Sukkot. Very strange. That's before Chatzos. Here, by Purim, that falls out on a Friday, so there's a mitzvah to have a big Suda. Gemara says that there's a machlokes hatanan Rabbi Yeshua regarding the Sudas on Pesach and on Sukkot and on Rosh Hashanah, how elaborate do the meals have to be. But the Gemara says that on Shavuos and on Purim and on Erev Yom Kippur, everybody agrees that you have to have an elaborate meal. The Suda on Purim should be more elaborate than the Suda on Pesach and more elaborate than the Suda on Sukkot. It should be very elaborate like on Shavuos. Hakol Moedim on Shavuos and on Erev Yom Kippur and on Purim, that you have to have a very elaborate meal. So the question is, let's say you have a Yom Tov Shechalias Erev Shabbos. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that strictly speaking, you're allowed to eat the Sudas Yom Tov even a minute before the Shkia, if you didn't need it earlier. But l'hatchila, a person should avoid violating this din of eating Samach L'Mincha, Samach L'Mincha L'Maila. So which Samach L'Mincha is it? Is it Samach L'Mincha G'dolo, a Samach L'Mincha K'tana? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the two opinions over here. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch that you should eat before Chatzos. You should eat the Sudas Purim this year before Chatzos. Why? That's on the assumption that the din of not eating Samach L'Mincha means Samach L'Mincha G'dolo. Like the Ramah writes in Hilchas Sukkot, Samach L'Mincha G'dolo. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes, but bottom line, we all know that in Hilchas Pesach Gufa, The whole original story says in Hilchot Pesach Gufa, we pack in Samach L'Mincha Ketana. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius writes that that's a chumrah, as long as you should finish eating by 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock is Gimel Shoes before Sof Hayom. So that's Samach L'Mincha Ketana Tanan. Shad is that we really passing like this. So the Mishnah says there, and the Mishnah only says it regarding Arvid Sof. Erev Pesach Kadesh Yochel Matzah V'Teyovim. What about on every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yontif? So the Gemara there in Avi Pesachim quotes a Machlokes Satanoim. Machlokes Abiyuda Rabbi Yosi. So the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the same din that's formulated in the Mishnah regarding Avi Pesachim applies to every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontif. And we really don't pass them like that. We pass an Ikra din that is mutter to eat. Even on an Erev Shabbos and an Erev Yontif, it's permissible to eat mamish till the end of the day. So the whole thing is a Zahiris. The whole thing lachatchila is a zehiris. And then the Gemara says over there, but that's the zehiris. If that's what the Shulchan Aruch recommends, you should try to, according to some, you should try to finish the meal before chatzos. And according to Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, you're not mechuyev to be choshish. But that opinion, samach l'mincha gedola tanan, we're in Hilchos Pesach, we pass in samach l'mincha ketan. You should try to finish the meal before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Gemara in Arba Pesachim talks about a situation that a person was sitting and eating a meal late Friday afternoon. Apparently he must have davened mincha early, and he's sitting and eating. Either beheter or beisser. Either according to Rabbi Yehuda and Alato, so he did beisser. Or beheter, he didn't follow the Midas Chasidus that we recommend. He followed Rabbi Yosi, that you're permitted to eat mina mincha lamailo also. There is no such thing. But then the Gemara says, if the guy's sitting and eating, and then it becomes shkia, so what does he do? So the Gemara says he doesn't have to bench. All he has to do is cover over the food, paris mapa mekadosh. He should say kiddush. But that whole paris mapa mekadosh, that's a din b'diyevit. We don't recommend l'chatchila. Everybody should start a meal on Friday afternoon and then stop in the middle and say kiddush. That's not l'chatchila. I understand that there were times that the Jewish people were very poor and they couldn't afford a fleshig meal. So that's why in Europe there was a practice that they used to have the weddings on Friday afternoon, because the only time they had fleshig was on Shabbos. And the Sudas HaChasim is supposed to be a fleshig meal also. So they killed two birds with one stone. So they got married late on Friday afternoon or whatever, Friday. And then the Sudas HaChasim was Leil Shabbos and they were going to have fleshig anyway. So I understand there were times that the Jewish people couldn't afford to have meat every day. So if you have Purim falls out on an Erev Shabbos, and you're going to have a fleshig meal anyway for Leil Shabbos. So you divide to the tiny little piece of chicken a flesh that you're going to have, so you divide it in half. So you kill two birds with one stone. You can't afford to have two suddas, fleshig suddas. So you eat late in the Leis Breira. You want to satisfy the Rambam's opinion that the suddas Purim has to have basa v'yayin. So you start your dab mincha early, then you start your meal late in the afternoon before Shkia. You have some bread and you have a kazayis of fleish mibol yom. Then you say kiddush paras mapa mekadosh and you yotze sudas purim sudas shabbos with one suda. But that's if you're poor and you can't afford it. But in America we have fleish every day. Forget it. We have weddings every day. We don't have weddings on Friday. Why? We can't afford fleish. We can afford a lot more than fleish. So why should a person jalave? Why should he be stingy on the cheshon of purim? I don't think it's right to kill two birds with one stone. It's like any mitzvah chavilas chavilas. You should have the Sudas Purim in the morning, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Either gor in the morning and finish, like the Ramah says, you should finish before chatzos. That we really don't pasch like that. And Erev Pesach Gufa we pasch in Samach L'Mincha Ketana. Or the way Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius says, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, you can have it in the afternoon.
I
don't think so. I think Shulchan Aruch says that since the whole idea is sometimes there's a din of hiskel v'heter, so then there's no iser to continue to eat. But over here the whole idea is kidei shi'ochel l'tayavam, you should eat the suda at night l'tayavam. So what does it help that hiskel v'heter? But if he's going to keep on eating later, so he's still going to have the problem. He's not going to eat l'tayavam. So I think they say here, this whole is a hiris. It's not nikra din we paskin as mutati. But this is a zahiris, a midas chasidus that we don't eat samach l'mincha. We're sort of koshish for Rabbi Yosi Shita, even though the Gemara koshish for Rabbi Yehuda Shita. You know, in our pasuk, halachic Rabbi Yosi here, but because she's Rabbi Yehuda, says that you should never eat on any erev Shabbos or any erev Yontif. You shouldn't eat the samach lemincha. So then you should finish. You should finish before that month. Right, that says also, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shaloh, who quotes his Rabbeisov, that they had a machloikis, if there would be a bris on Friday morning, they would be serving fleshes. So the Shaloh writes that one of his Rabbeim would eat the fleshes, the other one wouldn't eat the fleshes. Why? So it says, so the Magen Avraham explains the whole issue. The Shaloh is not fully musbar, but the Magen Avraham spells out what they were fighting about. There was a shaila where the Sudas HaBris requires Mikar Adin that it should be Basar, or you can have a Milchik Sudas HaBris. So it's not proper to have an elaborate meal on Erev Shabbos even in the morning. It's not proper. Unless it says in Shulchan Aruch, unless, let's say, HaBris. I didn't choose the... Let's say if you're picking when you're going to get married, so don't get married on Friday morning and throw a big party on Friday morning. That's not nice. If you get married on Friday, have the Sudas Chasen and Leil Shabbos. Or if you want to have the Suda by Yom, so have it on Thursday, not on Friday. But the Rav Moshe says, what if you made a Pidyon HaBen? So you made a Pidyon HaBen, got no choice. Well, I should wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow is not the Yom Lamed Aleph. Today is the Yom Lamed Aleph, but you have a bris. A meal of Isman, it turns out to be on Friday, so you have no choice, so you make the meal. So the Shaila is it really necessary to have fleshiks for a Suda Sabris meal? So the one of the Rabbeim of the Shaloh held that Nikiradin is supposed to have Basar, because it's a Suda Shal Simcha. And in Simcha Le B'Basar and Simcha Le B'Yayin. He would participate in the fleshig meal that followed the bris on Friday morning. The other one held, no, Mikra Adin, you can have a milchig meal for the bris. So that's why having a fleshig meal is unnecessary. So that's not proper to have a fleshig meal on Friday morning, since it's not really required. So here's the Shailan Purim. In the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say you have to have Basar B'Yayin, but the Rambam says like that. I think everybody, every year, most normal people have Basar B'Yayin on Purim for the Sudas Purim. So this year also the Pashtus is. We should have the Sudas Purim in the morning, the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. And we should have Basar B'Yayin. That's like a bris. That's a meal of Bismana. So you have, we allow an elaborate meal.
So this year, like myself, I have some Matanakulionis, so ideally it's supposed to be to provide a Suda, right? At least Matanakulionis. Should you give it to the Ani before, like early enough in the day, that you should be able to finish the Suda by Samach Lemecha? If you can, give it before.
In the days of the Gemara, that's what they did. They used to give money to the Gabbai, and then the Gabbai would make a big Suda for the Aniim, and then everybody would be Yotzei Matanas Lavyanim by that Suda. Or it would be assumed that the money, the Gemara says in Bamti, was assumed that the money. Most Purim, the money that they gave the Aniim on Purim, it was understood that that money is going to be used for buying food. That's what the Gemara has a whole discussion. If they gave most Purim to the Aniim, and the Ani decides he's going to have a tuna fish sandwich today, and he's going to use the money to buy a pair of shoes. So the Gemara says that it's a shalif in Geneva. That's Adas Balabais Nikra Gazlan. I bet I gave the money to him. It's his money. So who is he stealing from? The answer is no. I didn't give it Allah Tanai. I gave the money on an understanding. The understanding was he's going to use it for food today. And then he goes and he uses it for some other purpose. So the Gemara says, we pass an oivah das balabais, nikra gazlan. That money that was given with an understanding, even though it's not in conformance with the hilchas tanai in Shulchan Aruch, nonetheless, you're not allowed to divert that money. You're not allowed to use it for another purpose. So that was the practice bizman Gemara, that the either the Gizbar made a meal and the Aniim ate the meal, he gave the money and it was understood the money's going to go for a meal. Today it's not necessarily, we have some Aniim who are starving, but most of Yainim that we give the money to, they use it for shoes. It's assumed that they have a right to use it for whatever. So by us, it's not that important that you should give the money so far in advance that you should be able to use it to buy the meal. The Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes, if a person had a Suda Purim and he recites Birchas Hamazon, and if he got to recite Alah Nisim, is it Yotzei or not? Does he have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon again because of the lack of reciting Alah Nisim? On Chanukah, the Gemara says in Bama Madlikin that the whole reciting of Alah Nisim and Birchas Hamazon is only a minute. Mikra Din, you don't have to at all. The Chachamim were only misakin to recite Alah Nisim in Tfilo. They were never misakin to recite Alah Nisim in Birchas Hamazon. So here there's a machlekes achrayim. Some achrayim say that's only on Chanukah because there's no chiyuv suda. But on Purim where there is a chiyuv suda, so you mechuyev midina to recite al anisim, and if you forgot to say al anisim, you're not yotze the suda, you're not yotze the tension. However, you'll formulate it, and you got to repeat the birchas hamazon. Yeah, on that we hold that suffik brachas lahakel. We wouldn't shaylo a brachal lahakel. So we would say you shouldn't repeat it, but one should be careful to make sure that he says al anisim. That's why it's probably the pashtus is that it's not right. Many people have the practice on a normal year, or this year also some people have a practice that they start the meal on Purim and then they finish the meal on Matzoi Purim, and then when they recite the Birchas Hamazon Balaylo, so then they say Al Anisim. So that's really a machlokes in the Rishonim. Do you go Basa Haskolas Hasuda or not? The Vilna Gaon says if it's Shabbos, it's really the same machlokes Shabbos and Yom Tov also. Let's say a person starts Shalashudas on Shabbos and he benches when it's already after Seisat Kochovim. So the Pashtus is that you have the same Achleik as there, whether you say Ritzei or not. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that there for sure, because there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontif. So it's not that we rely on the Shittus to hold that you go Basa Haskolos Hasuda, it's still Shabbos now. Even Bishas Gemar Hasuda, it's still Shabbos because we have prolonged Shabbos using the principle of Tosefes Shabbos. But there is no Tosefes on Rosh Chodesh, and there is no Tosefes on Chanukah and Purim. So there you have a real question. If you started the meal on Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah and Purim and you finish later, whether you say Al Anisim, whether you say Yalav Yalav. So there are more paskas l'alocha basa haskola sasuda azlinon that you do say Al Anisim. But the Pashta says one should avoid getting involved in the machlokes. The Pashta says that you should always finish the sudas Purim on Purim before the Shkia to make sure that you have the ability to say Al Anisim. Yeah, but yeah, but bottom line, we were passing even if you forgot Al Anisim, you're Yaitse. 2 days in the Magen Avraham. What's the Machlekes, the 2 days in the Magen Avraham? Machlekes Achrayim, so the Magen Avraham interprets that the Nekuda that they're fighting about is the following. The Gemara says that you're not permitted to fast on Rosh Chodesh, on the one hand, but on the other hand, you're not permitted to have a Suda with Pas. So therefore, the Gemara says in Brachas, if a person ate bread on Rosh Chodesh and he benches and he forgot to say Yalav Yava, he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon because he boy lo yachil. If he didn't want, he didn't have to eat. What do you mean he didn't have to eat? He's obligated to eat something. He's not allowed to fast. It means he boy lo yachil pas. If he didn't want, he didn't have to have bread. So the Magen Avraham says, oh, that's exactly the machlokes over here regarding Sudas Purim. Can you fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Purim if you don't wash? But he's saying, no, it's leikuvah that you have to have pas. So if you hold that you can be able to Sudas Purim without pas, how can you say that Al Anisim is leikuvah? You could have had a Sudas Purim without pas. It wouldn't have, he would have said Bein Koshes at the end. He wouldn't have mentioned Purim at all. But if you hold that you're not Yetzer without pas, then it's shy to say that the Al Anisim is leikuvah. The Or HaShulchan doesn't agree with the analysis of the Magen Avraham. He says that's out of the question. Nobody holds a Yetzer Sudas Purim without washing. He has a raya from the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos that whenever he go to a Sudas Bris, he go to a Sheva Broch, he go to a Chasana. So he says, if you go to a wedding, go to a Sheva Brachas and you don't wash, you're not Yotze. You'll have a good time. You'll be full, but you won't be Yotze the mitzvah of Sudas Mitzvah. Sudas Mitzvah, by definition, requires that you should have pas. If you don't have pas, you're not Yotze the Sudas Mitzvah. So the Aruch HaShulchan claims that's not a point of debate. He disagrees with the Magen Avraham. Tells everybody agrees, all the Achronim agree that you have to have pas. For the Sudas point, they just argue whether the Haskara of whether the mentioning of Al Anisim is Rikuvah or not. So really, that's the more correct practice should be, that one should have pas and have basa the yain, and then the yain is Adala Yoda. Adala Yoda does mean that you get stone drunk like the Shikurim on the Bowery on the east side. The Shulchan Aruch says that you drink a little bit extra Yosem Ili Mudai. And then he should take a nap afterwards, so when he'll be sleeping, so he won't know the difference between Or HaHaman and Baruch Mordechai.
Isn't that the Lashon of Ramban and Shulchan Aruch seems to quote the
Megillah
straight up, so it
doesn't
necessarily
seem
that way.
The Mechaber?
Yeah.
Could be. But there are more rights that that's not so. There are more rights not so. especially they quote from the Vilna Gaon that the Gemara said the Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, how one is supposed to have the Suda on Pesach and on Sukkot, so you have to have an elaborate meal that can eat the Kisser. So the Gemara says though that there are 3 days, Hakol Moedim, everybody agrees you have to have an elaborate meal. So the one is Shavuos, because Yom Shinitim B'Torah, and the other one is Erev Yom Kippur, and the third one is Purim. So the quotes when they've only gone, the Gaonim had a girsa in the Gemara that Purim is also Yom Shinitim B'Torah, because the Gemara says Kima V'Kiblu, Kima Mashi Kiblu Kar. So they quote from the only gone that he said all three are Kabbalah Sator, because the Mishnah says in the end of Tainus, Lahoyo Lahem Yisrael Yomim Tovim Kechamisha Tabal V'Yom HaKippurim, that these were the two jolliest days of the calendar. So the Gemara says, Chamishas Abav, the Gemara starts off, we don't know what that's all about. Well, what happened on Chamishas Abav? The Gemara says, Bishleimi Yom HaKippurim, we know what happened. It's a day of celebration because Yom Shinitim Bo Luch HaShnias. It's a day of Kabbalah Sator. So Yom Kippur, we celebrate Kabbalah Sator. We can't eat on Yom Kippur, we have no choice. So the Zohar Gaon says, the eating on Erev Yom Kippur is to satisfy that requirement that you have to celebrate, we call it Kabbalah Sator. It's also Yom Shinitim Bo Tor. So all the three exceptions to the rule, that's what the Vilna says, all the three. On Shavuot you have elaborate meals, and on Purim, and on Erev Yom Kippur, all three are the covered Kabbalah Sator. So the Suda should be such a nature that it should indicate that there was a Kabbalah Sator. We should sing Nigunim about Liman HaTorah, Kabbalah Sator. We should, the Ramah says you should learn in the middle of the meal. Ramah says you should learn Hilchas Pesach, because it's Oshin Yom Kodim Achag. But whatever you learn, whatever, you should learn something in the middle of the meal. It shouldn't be like Nochrim. Some people view Purim as if it's Jewish Halloween. That's not what it's supposed to be like. It's supposed to be a Pesavikovet Dikayon. Serious, serene observance of the Kovet Kabbalah Zater. Giving a matana to a novel is, Shulchan Aruch is considered a violation of Shelah Shalom. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that one should not send Shalach Manas to an Ovel. But the Ovel is permitted to be Shol B'Shalom Acher. Everybody else is Shori B'Shalom. So the Ovel is permitted and obligated to send Shalach Manas to others. The others are not supposed to send Shalach Manas to the Ovel, even called if it's a parent who died, so the whole Yud Beis Chodesh is an Issa Shelah Shalom. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Says in Shulchan Aruch that the minig is that a man shouldn't send shalach manas to a single woman because there's a hashash that maybe there'll be a tzitzis kiddushin. Choshishim the sivlainis. That's a sugi in kiddushin. The Gemara has a machloikis whether if a boy sends a man sends a matana to a single girl, are you choshishim the sivlainis? Are you choshish for kiddushin or not? So it's very we paskin ain't choshishim the sivlainis, that you're not choshish for kiddushin. So why all of a sudden over here in Hilchas Purim did the Ramot change his mind? And furthermore, the Achrayim asked that in Eben Ezer and the Siman about Sivloinus, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch that the Hashash Sivloinus, even the opinion of the Gemara, that you are Choshish Mekidushin, by Sivloinus, that means if he sent some jewelry, he sent the Dovash Al Kayama, he used to send a Sivloinus Siddur, Sivloinus Machzor, or some Sivlaunus. But if he sent food, so it says in Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer, that food that's not of a lasting nature, you're going to eat it up, that for sure is Ein Choshishim Sivloinus. Even though Medina, the Gemara, it says in the Gemara, you can be Mikadish B'Tamra, you can give the Mikadish and Isha, is Kachali B'Tamra Zu, with a date. He marries the girl on a date with a date. Kachali B'Tamra Zu. So you can be Mikadish and Isha with food, if you say Hariat Mekudesh, but if you don't say, it does Choshishim Sivloinus B'Shtiko, so in the Shulchan Aruch, as it says that strictly speaking, that only applies if you send Sivloinus that is Shal Kayama. But the minig was Lahachmir, that on Purim one doesn't send Shalach Manas to a single woman. Unless you have a situation, let's say, your great grandmother is an old lady, she's all by herself, and her husband dies. What are you going to say? You're not going to send Shalach Manas to the old lady? No man should send Shalach Manas to the old lady. So if you have a real tzorach, so you send to the old lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Gemara said, "Bizman she beis amigdush kaim ein simcha ela b'shlamim." Bizman she beis amigdush kaim, so you can't have shlamim. So you say ein simcha ela b'yayim. Right. So the Mishnah Brura on the last page of Chelek Hay quotes the Machlekes Achrayim. What does that mean? Does it mean bizman she beis amigdush kaim you can forget about basar? You don't need basar at all for simchas yontif, and all you need is yayim. And that's how the Mishnah Brura holds Mikra Adin. That's all you need is yayin for simcha. The basar is irrelevant because it's not going to be b'sar shlamim anyway. And the minority opinion that the Mishnah Brura quotes says sakhed. They say no. B'sman she beis hamikdash hayikayim, you can fulfill simchas yontif and shalosh regalim by just having b'sar shlamim alone. B'sman she beis hamikdash kaim, since it's b'sar chulin that you're eating, it's not b'sar shlamim, so you have to enhance it with the yayin as well. You have to have basar the yayin. Right, so that's the shaila. Does a wedding have to be fleishig? Does the sheva brachas have to be fleishig? Does a bris, does the suda's bris have to be fleishig? We assume that the suda's bris is a suda simcha, and a suda chasen, and a suda sheva brachas, all the suda of simcha. That's a tshuva namam shik. So he quotes this machlokes sachrayim. He recommends, of course, that you should have basa v'yayin. You should have both together. Mikra din, you really have to have yayin. Let's say if you have a milchig bris, so there are those who say that it's okay, but you have to have yayin. That everybody agrees you have to have yayin. By chasana, by sheva brachas, everyone's supposed to have yayin. The basar is a machlokes. Then in the basar, there's a further machlokes on page aleph in the Yerideya, page aleph on the aleph. It says that it's not right that a novel should shecht, because the novel is tarud, and when you shecht, you have to be in a good mood in order to be able to shecht properly. So the oval is all shaken up, so we recommend you shouldn't shech. But what if he's the only one who can shech for Yom Tov and Shabbos? He got no choice, so the oval is, so we would allow the oval to shech, you have no choice. So then there's a machlek zachrein, and what if you have a shechet oifet? Yom Tov is coming, you have a person who can shech oifet, but you don't have one who can shech the beinus. And then what the oval is the one who knows how to shech beinus. So is that considered a tzorech? Would we recommend that even though he's an Avelis, he should shecht the behemoth in order that everybody should have Bsar behemoth for Yom Tov? Well, no, let him eat chicken. Who says you have to have Bsar behemoth for Yom Tov? But let him eat chicken. So that's a machlekes achrayim on the first page in Yerideya, on page Aleph Amud Aleph. So there are those who are mach, when you put two and two together, whenever you have a mitzvah of simcha, like on Yom Tov, like a chasana, a bris, so you have to have dafke basar, yayin is not enough, you have to have basar with the mamshik's tshuva, and then some insist that's the dafke basar behema, and you're not yotze with chicken, so you can go broke. Let's say you have a wedding, you insist on having, everybody has to have steaks. You can't give chicken to anybody, so it's a little more expensive to serve steaks than to serve chicken. So that's what they quote from the Gerer Rebbe from before the Second World War, so he recommended, if it's too, he recommended everybody should have a flesh chasana, like the Marmshik says in the Tshuva. But he says if you can't afford to serve flesh to everybody, at least you should have a minyan mitzumtzum. At least 10 people should have b'sar behema, and all the rest should have b'sar roi. Okay, these are different opinions. What constitutes the mitzvah of simcha? The meaning is that people give zecher l'machtos ha'shekel on Tainus Esther, because the Gemara says in the first parak in Brochus that agri l'taneisa tzidkisa, the main schar, the main agar that a person gets from fasting on a Tainus is not so much from the fasting. The Rabbanu Shel Olam can live without his fasting, he doesn't need his fasting. The main reward is because of the fact that he's donating tzedakah. Agri l'taneisa tzidkisa. That's why once you give tzedakah on the tainus, so the minig developed that in the days of the Gaonim, they developed the minig that you give the zecher l'machtos ha'shekel on tainus Esther. So the Rama says that the minig developed, he spoke about it a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning, so the minig developed that you give three times machtos ha'shekel, because it says truma three times, and then the minig developed that you give a half of the matbeh ha'yotah b'oisim medina. So that would mean a dollar and a half. You give a dollar and a half. Shaila is only people over the age of 20, or people over the age of bar mitzvah, women. So the women were, strictly speaking, not mechuyev. They were never mechuyev b'zman shabbos mikdash hayikayim. They weren't mechuyev to give machtos ha'shekel. So what are they going to make a zecher l'machtos ha'shekel? They want to, don't they? The Mishnah says if the women want to volunteer to give the real mechuyev, the real machtos ha'shekel, the kabbalah mehem. So b'zman is also, if the women want to give, don't they? But there never was a meaning that the women have to give. Shaila is the children. before the age of 20 or before the age of 13. So the Darkei Moshe quotes some Achronim and say that even a pregnant woman who doesn't know at all whether she's going to have a baby boy or a baby girl, so some places that a minute, even pregnant women would give Machzah Shekel on behalf of the Uber just in case it's going to turn out to be a boy. I don't know how popular that minute is, that pregnant women give, I haven't heard in recent years, that pregnant women give Machzah Shekel. But the children, before Bar Mitzvah, many have a minute to give a chinuch when the kid knows what's going on, so they do give Machzah Shekel.
Why do people try to relate their Machzah Shekel to Shekel Israel now? Mm-hmm.
No, that's not the minig, right? The minig is that you give three times machzis of the Marbe HaYetzer Boisa Medina. Right, we explained on Sunday morning, we explained that based on the Rambam, that the Mishnah says in Shkolim, quoting the Pasuk in Ezra, that at the beginning of the period of the Bai Sheni, they gave Darkon Shol Zohar. And as the years went by, so then they only gave Machzah Shekel. So what was that Darkon Shel Zov all about? That's way more than the Machzah Shekel requires. So there's a Machlekes, the Rambam, and the Ravid. So the Ravid says because they had such a small group of people, they had to pay for all the Karbonas Tzibur. No one else was chipping in. The people who lived in the bubble weren't participating. Only the Jews who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they had to pay way more because if they would only give Machzah Shekel, it wouldn't cover the expenses of purchasing the Karbonas Tzibur. The Pasuk that says, Hoshelo Yarbeh, doesn't mean no one's allowed to give more than Machzah Shekel. No one's allowed to give more than the other person. Everybody has to give the same amount. But the Bezdin has to determine in advance how much everybody has to give. So in the earlier years, everybody gave $100. Way more than Machzah. They gave 200 times Machzah Shekel. Because they had to cover the expenses of all the Karbonas Tzibur. Everybody had to give the same amount. That's how the Ravid says. The Rambam has a different interpretation. And the Rambam is what this Ramo is based on. The Rambam says that the Matbea HaYotze Ba'osa Medina at that time was the Darkon Shel Zohav, and that's the halacha Machzah Shekel. You have to give a machzis of the Matbea HaYotze Ba'osa Medina if it's more than a Machzah Shekel. You can never give less than Machzah Shekel, but if the Matbea HaYotze Ba'osa Medina will come out to be a machzis of that, will turn out to be more than a Machzah Shekel, then the din requires that you have to give a machzis of that. So that's why the minhag developed all over that you give three times a machzis, and the Rishon three machzah shekels. You give three of the machzis of the Matbeah Hayot Bais Medina based on the Rambam. The Rambam says that plays a role sometimes. There's such a test in Kiddushin also in the first parak. Test talks about Pidyon HaBen. That for Pidyon HaBen, it's not enough to give five shkolim. You have to give, if $5 is more than five shkolim, then you got to give $5 or 5 rubles. If 5 rubles is more than 5 shkolim, then you got to give 5 rubles. If you live in a country where the ruble is the Matbea HaYotze Ba'osa Medina, that's what Moshe Feinstein quotes from the Chachmas Sodom, that the minhag was that they gave 5 rubles in Russia, even though that was way more than 5 shkolim for Pidyon HaBen. It was based on this Rambam with the Tosfos, that the Rambam says it by Machzis HaShekel, and the Tosfos says the same Rambam. Tosfos says they're going to give to Pidyon HaBen. So that's why the Chachmas Sodom, that's why the meaning was they always gave 5 rubles, even though they knew that it was way more than the 5 shloim for Pidyon HaBen, based on that Rambam in Tosfos. They quote that one of the early Belzer Rebbes, not so familiar with all the different names, insisted when you read the Mikra Megillah, you have to pronounce all the words correctly. So he said, according to his reading of the Masorah, you have in a fancy Tanakh, and the cross with us, you have the Masorah. So he said the correct reading should be Lios Kalish Shorer Beveso. Instead of Sorer, how do we say? Lios Kalish Sorer Beveso. Sorer. So he said according to the Masorah, it has to be Shorer. And whoever says Sorer is not Yotzi. We don't really read the Masorah like that. It may sound like that from the Masorah because it gives you another place in Tanakh where the same word appears, and the other word is Shin, not a Shin. But we assume that that's not what it means. We read the Soria. But what is correct is you have to pronounce all the words correctly. What if you mispronounce the words like they mispronounce? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that if you said Yehudiyim instead of Yehudim, so b'di'evad yeyotze. Really, that's a chiddush on top of the chiddush. Chiddush number one, that you didn't pronounce it correctly. It says in Yerushalmi, as long as it's not a Torah, that's Mishana Sarinyan. Torah, that's Mishana Sarinyan. He changed something from no fail to no foul, from present tense to past tense or something like that, that's Mishana Selinian, then you're not Yotze B'di'evad. But if it's a Torah that's not Mishana Selinian, And Yerushalmi said he heard Tibidiyah. So that's the question, is that only a din in Mikra Megillah, or is that a din in Kriyas HaTorah all the time? So the Mechaber quotes it in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah also, that even by the regular Kriyas HaTorah, on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, if the Baal Kori makes a mistake and it's not Mishana Suinya, you yotze the way it is. From the Rambam it would appear not so. The Rambam seems to write that it's only a Kula Mikra Megillah, because the Gemara says the Megillah is Nikra Sefer and Nikra Sigeris. Nikra Sigeris means that it doesn't have all the full dinim. That's on the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Aleph, 6 lines from the bottom. Nikra Sefer and Nikra Sigeris. Nikra Sefer is part of Tanakh, part of Kisei HaKodesh. Nikra Sigeris doesn't have all the full dinim of Tanakh. That the Gemara says Benegir to the Tefirah. So that's the question, is it only Benegir to the Tefirah? Are there more dinim? So it could be that the din that we mentioned before, that if Rov of the Megillah is written, and Miut is missing, that it's a Kosher Megillah, so that's a Shaila in the Ritva, and the Chulis of Ritva, that could be that that's only a din in Megillah. It could be that another Sifrei HaTanach, another Sifrei Nevi'im Ksuvim, it would be possible. Even if you're missing Oisachas, it could be that that's only because Nikra Sigeris, so as long as Ruba is Nichtav, it's acceptable. So here also the Rambam seems to hold like this, that if you mispronounce a word, Rambam only quotes that in Hilchos Megillah. In Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, he says if you make any slight mistake in pronunciation, you have to correct the Baal Kori, and you're not Yotze. So from the Rambam would appear that Korvel Adiktik Gotia says Yotze B'Yevet, if you make a slight mistake, is only a Kula Mikra Megillah. But it's really a Chiddush on top of a Chiddush, because Yehudim and Yehudiyim is a Kri of Siv. So one could have argued the point and said, if you mispronounce another word, so you were sloppy in the grammar. As long as it's not Mishana Sainian, it's okay. But if you mispronounce a Kri of Siv, so you could say that's exactly what the Kri of Siv is all about. That if it's written incorrectly, or if it's pronounced incorrectly, so you're not Yotze, because Kriya Ksiv, the Gemara says, is Halacha L'Moshe Misina. So Halacha L'Moshe Misina is on the text of the Chamishu Chamishu Torah. Mestama does not Halacha L'Moshe Misina on the Kriya Ksiv and Megillah Sester. But it's along the lines of Halacha L'Moshe Misina, the Hainu. It was intended that it should be written like this, and to be pronounced differently from the way it's written. So if you're going to mispronounce the word and pronounce it the way the Ksiv is, so one could have built up an argument, one could have built up a whole case to say that any other mispronunciation would be acceptable except for a Kriya Ksiv. But that's the example that's given in the Shulchan Aruch from the Yerushalmi. Yehudiyim. Yehudiyim is the Kriya Ksiv, but even though it's spelled with two yuds in the Tanakh, but you pronounce it with one yud. So that's a Chiddush al Gabi Chiddush. That even by Kriya Ksiv also we say that since it's not Mishana Sovinyan, the one is Yotze B'Yevet. Yoza Rua writes that they're not sure what the correct spelling of the word is. It says Vayishaneha Liesnaraseha Latov Besanoshim. So should it be with a vav or without a vav? Vayishaneha Esnaraseha or Viesnaraseha. I remember someone once asked Rav Salvechik, we should lay over the pasuk twice. Asafik, what the correct reading should be. So we have it written you don't read from two different Megillahs. You have one Megillah that has with a vav or without a vav. But you should read it twice. You should read it twice. So that's all it is. You were chuckling and say, yeah, it's not Mishana Sarinian. So B'diyevet you Yotze either way. So he asked him, so why are we so insistent on laying over Lifnehim, Bifnehim? So he said, that's also a joke. He said, that B'diyevet you, it's not a joke. Lachatchila, you want to pronounce everything correctly. So we're not sure what Lachatchila is correct. He said, no, we have to add on more. The thing is that as long as the Torah is not Mishana Sarinian, so you yotze even without reading it twice. Not mukhayif to add on, just because you're a ruah sofik, not mukhayif to make yourself crazy.
Have you heard the Rambam say you were ever yotze kriyas HaTorah, we're not bekim, the Gemara says we're not bekim in certain things? In
the Gemara says we're not bekim b'chaseris v'yiseris. Yeah. But we know what the correct pronunciation is. So we got to pronounce all the words correctly. Shulchan Aruch says that Tainus Esther is a little more kal than the other Tanaisin. The Pashtus is that the other Tanaisin appear in Tisri HaKodesh. At one time they were Medibri Kabbalah. Originally the other Tanaisin, Tisha B'Av Asar B'Tevah, some Gedal Shavasa B'Tam, originally started as a Minig. But then once the Navi approved of the Minig, so he said some Raviv, some Achamish, some Asiri, so it became Dibri Kabbalah. And then sometimes you do fair, sometimes not. But the other Tanaisim at least stay in Tanakh, that's Dibri Kabbalah under certain conditions. The Pashtus says that the Tainus Esther was introduced later. There's a question how to read the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Tainus lists off all of the days on which we fast. List off Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Teves, and so on. Rabbo Yimei Hatzamas Uela Harei Mefurash B'Kabbalah Tamarvi B'Tamar Hamishi. That's halacha Perikay, the first four halachas. Then he writes halacha Hey. V'Nogu Kol Yisrael B'Zmanim Eilo Lehisanos. V'Nohagu Kol Yisrael. Is manim elo lehisanos. Will be your gimel ba'ador zecha l'tayne she'esana b'mei homer. So Rechik used to spend time on this. That Rav Chaim Volozhin had a younger brother, Rav Zelma Lo Volozhin, who was supposed to be a super genius. He knew Shas Bal Peh. Whenever the Vilna Gaon didn't remember the Loshon HaGemar, he would ask Rav Zelma Lo Volozhin and he would rap him off the Gemara. So they asked Rav Chaim Volozhin, wow, so your brother knew better than the Vilna Gaon. He says, no, that's impossible. The Vilna Gaon knew better. He said, what does the Vilna Gaon know better? So he said, my brother knew how to say Shas straight, like people can say Ashur Yeshur Yisecha straight. The Vilna Gaon could say it backwards also. If he left the Vilna Gaon to say the Blat Gemara backwards, he would say, Nigito Yayin Hu Shosa Avo. He could tell you that, but my brother only knew how to say Yosha, not Hopa. He could say, anyway. So Rav Zelma Volozhin, that this little sefer told us all, has all the brief biography, and has all the Vertalach, and has all the Divrei Torah, Aloch, and Kiddushim. So he had, on this Rambam, he raised an issue with the Vav, Ubiya Gimel Bador. How exactly do you read this? Almost every year, Rav Soloveitchik go through this, the two Girsas in the Rambam. So the one way to read Halacha Hei, Perakei Halacha Hei, in the Rambam, was the sinus. V'nogu kol Yisrael b'zmanim elo lehisanos. Bizmanim elo refers to the four fifth days. Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Tevis, Tam Gedal, Yishev, Asar B'Tamas. V'nogu kol Yisrael, it doesn't read well. And then he says, Ubiya Gimel Bador is another thing. And we also fast on Tainus Esther and Shaykh Zechit to the Tainus that they had. That's one way to read the Rambam. But that's a very awkward reading. The Nogu Kol Yisrael Bizmanim Elul means Biyomim Elul. And these previously, the 4 days that we mentioned, the Hisanus should have said, Nogu Kol Yisrael, why is it the Nogu? Because the Gemara says, "Bismanah say ratim misanim ratim misanim." Kvar shayu alai chayvo. So the Rambam is quoting the Bahag. Kvar shayu alai chayvo. So he should have written, "With Nagu Kol Yisrael lisanos biyomim elo." So the simple reading of the Rambam should really be: you should cross out the vav, and he's introducing a new sentence here. "With Nagu Kol Yisrael bismanah elo" means bismanah zed. There is a minik lisanos biyud gimel biyador. So we have "With Nagu Kol Yisrael bismanah elo lisanos." Period. And then you start a new sentence. Ubiya Gimel Biador. You read it like that, and then there's no verb on your Gimel Biador. If you keep on reading the Rambam, he never finishes off the sentence. So the simple reading, the more correct reading is, you have to take out the Vav of Ubiya Gimel Biador and read it as one long sentence. Vinogu Kol Yisrael Bizmanai Mela means Bizmanai Zeh, meaning develop. So his son is Biya Gimel Biador, Zeh, the Tainu Shisarim, and Mehaman. That's the simple reading of the Rambam. So the Rambam is saying the Tainu Sester came later. Ibn Ezra, in his commentary on Megillas Esther, the last pasuk, Ayudim Kimi Bekibu Aleim Azarim Dibat Semis V'Zah Kosam. So in that pasuk, Dibat Semis V'Zah Kosam, there's a question: what does it mean? The one pshat in the Ibn Ezra, the one pshat in Rashi, I think, is just like the Jews had accepted upon themselves to fast on Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Teves, so to accept it to observe Purim. The pasuk is just alluding to a previous Kabbalah. This is another Kabbalah. And the Ibn Ezra has another pshat, Dibat Semis V'Zah Kosam, that in the Megillas Esther it says that they always fast the Tainus Esther, which is a very, very difficult shot to say, because we know that Tainus Esther, Bizman Baishen, used to be a holiday. It was Yom Tarionis. It was a day in which you're not permitted to fast. You used to always celebrate it as a holiday. So the Pashtus is that Tainus Esther is a later minig. It's not at all a Medina. And that's why the Ramos says, if a person is a Koyeve Einayim, even if it's not Pilei Choy L'Shem Sakon, he doesn't feel well, so let him not fast on Tainus Esther, let him fast, let him be Mashlim a different day. Yeah, somehow the minig developed that people don't fast on Tainus Esther, they don't do the Hashlama. That's not really right. The Ramos makel that you can fast another day. This fasting is Zecher to the Tanesim that they did in the days of Mordechai Esther, so we fast also.
I can't say I'm necessarily off the affiliate between the Jewish to read the Rambam, but the Ben Chai brings down a minhag that some people fast 3 days, say for the fast, and then also fast on Hamad Esther. So, is that a...
You have the Shulchan Aruch also. I think the Rambam quotes that too. Those are there's 3 days in addition to the time it says. Yeah. I don't think that affects his Yirsa. No. Very good. Okay, so tomorrow we'll go back to Gemara Shabbos. Go back to Gemara Shabbos.